out of money. With 1,500 guns off the streets of Harrisburg, the mayor wants the program to continue. He's found some more money. And the district attorney there says he can't remember any such gun buybacks being as successful. He says he hopes it means the public is fed up with violence. Air America.
News sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice, making it easy to add whole grain to your diet. For delicious brown rice recipes, visit them on the web. Enjoy Mahatma or Carolina Rice. It's good for you.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz, the number 6.com.
Shocking weight loss breakthrough. Do you qualify for the Slim Seduction Diet Pill Study? In a strange twist of events, a group of desperate housewives were recruited to try a new passion pill and healthy lifestyle plan. And not only did they report a sizzling new spark in their love lives, but unexpectedly, they also lost an extraordinary amount of weight. Just listen.
Hi, this is Marie Seibel. I lost 30 pounds with Slim Seduction at age 64. I feel friskier than I did in my 20s.
Hi, I'm Tina from Charleston, West Virginia, and I lost over 20 pounds and 20 inches with Slim Seduction. Now I feel sexier than ever, and my husband can't stop complimenting me.
Slim Seduction is hot and in high demand, but it's not available in stores. If you hurry, you can try to qualify for it online as part of a market research study. But participation is extremely limited. For details and to see amazing before and after pictures, visit slim23.com. Remember slim23.com. That's slim, then the number 23.com.
Mom just turned 82. I really worry about her living alone.
My mom's 74, and this is the first year she's going to be on her own. It's pretty scary.
My dad's 88. He's in great shape, but I still need to check on him several times a day.
Each year, more and more older Americans choose to maintain their independence and live alone. But if you're a child of one of them, you worry. What would happen if they became ill, got injured, or fell, and were unable to reach a phone? The answer is a small pendant from Alert USA. This two-way personal emergency response system is meant for those times when help is needed, but the phone is out of reach. The wearer simply presses the pendant, alerting our monitoring station, who then summons help to their residents. Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-401-8833. That's 1-800-401-8833. Act now and receive a smoke detector with free 24-hour monitoring when you subscribe. 1-800-401-8833.
Premature babies need hope, love, and you. Premature birth is the leading cause of newborn death and many serious health problems. It happens to one out of eight babies in the U.S. You can help premature babies by joining March of Dimes Walk America and raising money to support research and programs to find out how to prevent premature birth and how to help families who experience it. Register today. Get your sponsor form at Kmart or Famous Footwear, or visit walkamerica.org or call 1-800-525-WALK.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Beijing. Bush is finding himself right now in the Middle East. He's flying around. I think he's in Singapore at the moment. He's on his way to Vietnam. Stopped off to say hi to good old Vladimir Putin. Remember Vlad? He's the guy who said, you want us to have democracy in Russia, and if democracy is what Iraq looks like, we'll pass. Yeah. And while Bush is not going to end up in China, it is Asia. And it is, I think, emblematic in some ways of this larger issue, of this whole larger issue of trade with Asia. And you know, as Nancy Pelosi refers to them as the butchers of Beijing. So I want to get into that a little later on in the program. It's probably in our second hour. This is a really important issue. What are we going to do about our trade policies, and where are we going to take them? But right now, Chris Slattery is with us. He's the founder and president of New York City's oldest and largest network of CPCs, Crisis Pregnancy Centers. ExpectantMotherCare.org is the website. Chris, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Chris, I have a report here. I'd like to just do a reality check with you on this. This came from Planned Parenthood in Indiana. They said that a 17-year-old girl mistakenly walked into one of your centers, not one of your centers, because you run them in New York, but a crisis pregnancy center in Indiana. It was next door to a real Planned Parenthood place. They took down the girl's confidential. I'm reading from the report. The group took down the girl's confidential personal information, told her to come back for her appointment, which they said would be in their other office, indicating the real Planned Parenthood office. When she showed up the next day for her non-existent appointment, she was met by the police, who had been erroneously tipped off that a minor was being forced to get an abortion. The crisis pregnancy center staff then followed up this harassment by staking out the girl's house, phoning her father at work, and even talking to her classmates about her pregnancy, urging them to harass her. Is this what you guys do?
That's a great scenario. It sounds like a novel. I find that hard to believe, to be honest with you. And I would never condone that kind of behavior anywhere, any organization in the pro-life movement.
Well, the I think, you know, what's...
definitely counseling 70,000 women over the last 21 years and have never had a scenario like that one. And we've saved 12 to 15,000 mothers who came in voluntarily and chose life who were considering abortion because they were given compassionate help, real alternatives, and because in New York State there's no Right to Know Act. There's no obligation to inform women of the truth about what abortion can do to them. And when they hear about it in centers like ours in New York, they choose life.
Well, speaking about the right to know, House Resolution 5052, being put forward by Representative Maloney of New York, is a bill to stop deceptive advertising in women's services. In fact, that's the title of the bill. He notes, CPCs have intentionally placed advertisements in the abortion services sections of phone and internet directories. They choose names that are similar to nearby abortion clinics to confuse women about what types of services they provide. And once a woman calls to obtain information about their services, CPCs generally do not disclose that they do not provide abortion or birth control. In fact, many of them are starting to offer sonogram services as a way of trying to appear more like they may also offer abortion services.
Well, that's funny, Tom, because we've been offering sonogram services since 1985, almost 20 years. We did it because it's important that mothers see their baby in the womb before they abort it. And most of them that do get the chance to see the baby moving and squirming around in their tummy choose life. Now,
well, in fact, this came out of the Austin Life Care Center. A person went in thinking that she was going into an abortion clinic, got a sonogram. And when I asked her, she says, the person came out and said, here's a picture of your baby. Congratulations. And, I mean, this is pretty strange stuff. It's somebody comes in looking.
What I think is strange is the hypocrisy of the, particularly the sponsors of that bill you just brought up, who in New York City completely covered for the fact that there were three abortion clinics in New York City that were simultaneously advertising under abortion providers and under the pro-life heading of abortion alternatives. And guess what? I just sued one of them and won in court.
But they also offer abortion alternatives.
No. The heading in this abortion alternatives section says for advertisers who do not provide or perform abortions.
So would you agree to there just being an absolute segregation of those two?
Under alternatives, they're just trying a heading jump into the pro-life section.
Right, which they're saying that you guys have done. So would you agree to a segregation of the two?
The segregation of the two is fine. And we advertise exclusively under alternatives and have for over 20 years. Okay. The fact is that it's the abortion clinics that have been misleading and running deceptive advertising. Otherwise, why do you think the New York Civil Liberties Union, just in the last 2 weeks, settled with us out of court to stop? They signed a cease and desist order. This ACLU signed a cease and desist order, caved in immediately because they had no case.
Well, it's, you know,
we sued Dr.
Congratulations.
False advertising.
What can I say? Chris, we're talking with Chris Slattery. ExpectantMotherCare.org is the website. Chris, it sounds to me like you're really an advocate of forced pregnancy, that if a woman is pregnant, you believe that she should be forced to carry the baby the full term.
Forced pregnancy.
Well, because really, isn't what we're really talking about here the definition of when life begins? You're asserting that life begins at conception. I would assert that life begins at viability, which is pretty much what the law says. And isn't that really what is dividing us?
Pro-life cause. Let's ban abortions after viability. I'm all for you. Let's start there.
But you would allow abortions before viability.
And Nancy Pelosi want to start with legislation that bans abortion after viability. That is a fantastic beginning.
That's the essence of Roe v. Wade. That's the essence of Roe v. Wade. They kind of came up with this three-trimester thing.
You can't be serious. I mean, with the Doe versus Bolton companion case to Roe versus Wade, abortion is legal up until birth. Hello? It's openly advertised in the New York State Yellow Pages across the state up through 24 weeks. Babies are being delivered at 1 pound. Preemies are living at 18, 19 weeks, rarely, but occasionally. And then in the 20 to 24 weeks, many, many children can be saved. And
so then again, we have a problem about the
24 weeks.
Then again, we have a problem about the definition of viability.
Many of the abortions that are openly being performed across America by the tens of thousands per year.
So, Chris, do you think that abortion is murder?
Yes, I do.
So if somebody contracts to have somebody murdered, they are guilty of murder and they are subject to penalties for that. Do you think that women who contract to have abortions should be put to death by legal injection or by hanging or by firing squad?
Nice try, Tom.
Life in jail?
The only punishments I believe that should result in jail, fines, and the end of careers is for the physicians and those in the abortion facilities.
So then you don't think abortion is murder?
Tactics. Pardon?
Then you don't think that abortion is legally murder?
I do think it is.
But if it's legally murder, if you contract for murder, you yourself are a criminal.
Well, only if defined in the criminal code. And the pro-life movement is not in favor of criminalizing the behavior of the mother who's caught often in highly pressured situations, which we understand very much. Our counselors for 20-plus years have listened to thousands and thousands of stories and know the pain and suffering that women go through in a crisis pregnancy.
Here's
and that's
this.
Why they listen to us, and that's why 2 out of 3 choose life when given the proper assistance, which is what
the proper assistance. Here's an example of this. This is from the Cedar River Clinics. One person told me their horrifying experience going into a fake clinic. The name was Open Door, so they expected it to be supportive of women's decision regardless. What a nightmare. When the staff volunteer came out with the pregnancy test results, she literally ran over to us and yelled, "Congratulations, here's a gift for your new baby." Then they asked us what we wanted to do, and my daughter and I said we decided the best thing to do was to have an abortion, and what would that cost? The two ladies said, "Please wait a minute," left us. Then they came back with a doll and scissors and said, "This is what your baby looks like now, and we want you to start cutting her up because that's what will happen if you get an abortion. So start cutting her." I grabbed her and threw the doll at the ladies and got out of there fast. I later learned it wasn't a real clinic.
Oh, you know, I can't, there's no way for me to verify whether this is just fiction or what, but obviously this is not the way to go. And the way to go is care, compassion, love, giving women the truth, giving them free ultimate.
I agree with you on that, Chris. We only have a minute left also. Chris, if that. You and I are both men. Shouldn't men butt out of this debate? Shouldn't we just let women vote on this?
That's a great start. Let's have no male abortionists, so we'll probably wipe out about...
No, I'm saying let's say that males should not be able to vote on whether abortion is legal or not.
Oh, that's kind of silly, don't you think?
No, I have no idea what it's going to be like to be pregnant. I can't imagine it, and I don't think you could either.
99% of the time, men are involved in the pregnancy.
But they're not the ones who carry the baby.
True.
16. Chris Slattery, his website, expectantmothercare.org. 16 minutes past the hour.
We'll be right back. If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide non-insurance medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of your current health condition. As a member, you'll save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest health care networks in the country. To sign up or learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your health care every year, call for your free brochure. 1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036. Or you can visit Qualified Health on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Healthcare membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today. 1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
At last, the national government is responding to the widening gap and the severe economic side effects of greed-fueled globalization by extending real power to labor unions and cracking down on sweatshop goods. Unfortunately, this national government is not our own. It's China's. Yes, the Chinese rulers, who have a brutal record of repressing labor, have suddenly embraced a new doctrine of protecting worker rights. This is not altruism at work, but self-preservation. The ruling elites are in a sweat over massive social unrest there. So they've proposed a new law to empower formerly toothless labor unions to negotiate on wages, safety protections, and workplace rules. Now, guess who is howling in protest? Dell, Ford, GE, Microsoft, Nike, and other brand-name corporate giants that have been abandoning U.S. workers and communities for Chinese sweatshops. They have profited for years on the backs of China's impoverished workers, hiding behind the doctrinaire hokum that globalized sweatshops will somehow, sometime, raise the living standards of those workers. As the surge of Chinese social unrest indicates, however, workers are no longer swallowing the hokum, and the time for pushback is now. Expatriate U.S. corporations are lobbying ferociously to get China's government to drop its labor reforms, wailing that the new laws amount to socialism. Socialism in a communist country? Imagine. Well, say the Dells and Nikes, these rules would make it more difficult for them to fire workers. Well, duh, yes. The corporations might ask their former American workers, and that seems unfair. This is Jim Hightower saying, what must the Chinese people think? Just as they might get a small break, here comes the U.S. of A., represented by these greed-headed corporations, stomping on their dreams. Who elected Dell, Nike, and the rest to do this in our names?
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt-cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder, millions of jobs are being exported, and now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout, America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect the workers' right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate, my love. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind your religion. It's my right to marry whom I choose. It's not your place to call me a sinner or decide who to have as my mate. Don't twist the words of the Bible to make laws that discriminate. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church and state. Your religion should never abuse. Or take away my freedom to choose.
Hey, welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour. Tom Harbin here with you, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Why do I call it the radical middle? Well, because most of America is where we're at. If you ask most Americans, you know, do you support national health care? Do you support strong Social Security? Do you support strong labor unions, laws that will support strong labor unions? Do you support the breaking up of huge multinational corporations? Do you support trade policies that will actually protect American workers and keep jobs here in the United States? Do you support environmental protection? Do you support strengthening our public schools, even if we have to pay for it in our taxes? The vast majority of Americans will say yes in all those things. And the majority of Americans will say, do you support a woman's right to choose whether or not to have an abortion? And for that matter, do you support the right of men or women to choose to marry a person of the same sex? The majority of Americans now are saying yes. And not that those two are connected, but those are the, you know, not the 90%. They're more like the 55%. But still, here we are. So the question. And so I'd say that, you know, it boggles my mind when people who take the positions that I've just described, people like Nancy Pelosi, for example, take the positions that I've just described. They are referred to in the media as left-leaning, extreme left, or liberal, or ultra-liberal. And these are all the positions, if these are the positions that the majority of America wants, that the majority of America stands for, they're not liberal positions, they are American positions. Or maybe they, or you could say America is liberal. And they are liberal positions and American positions. And I'll go with that, you know, using Jack Kennedy's definition of a liberal. Certainly. Certainly. But it's not the left. I had on this program about a year ago, just to finally put a nail in the coffin of this debate, we had a guy on who is the president of the Communist Party of the United States of America, CPUSA. That's the left. On the right, on the far right, you've got, you know, the John Birch Society and the Republican Party right now. And, you know, we have them on from time to time. But the right is presented in our media. I mean, you've got Pat Buchanan all over the TV. The extreme right is presented in the media, but the extreme left, the Communist Party, the Socialist Workers' Party, they're never represented. Because they basically have no power. I mean, I had this guy from the Communist Party on, and he said, yeah, let's have the government nationalized everything. All industry should be owned by the government. I'm like, I don't think so. You know, I saw that in East Germany. I saw that in Russia. It didn't work. The left is dead in America, the old left. What we have is the vast American mainstream, which is what the media and people on the right refer to as the left. And then you've got the right-wing cranks. Anyhow, just to wrap up this thing with the abortion clinics. These clinics, these so-called emergency crisis or pregnancy crisis centers, they, CPCs, crisis pregnancy counseling centers, the state of Texas, for example, just budgeted $25 million, or just cut $25 million from their budget for planning, family planning. But they put aside $5 million to fund crisis pregnancy centers. As a result of that, just in the state of Texas, and this is happening all over the country, 17,000 low-income women will lose access to affordable family planning. The entire spectrum, from abortion all the way down to, you know, here's education about how birth control works as a result of these cuts. And that's just in Texas. According to Planned Parenthood, crisis pregnancy centers across the nation have received $60 million in government grants. The fellow we were just talking to, Chris Slattery, I don't know if he's getting any government grants or not, but that expectantmothercare.org, their website, they run the largest network of these things in New York. In the 1980s, crisis pregnancy centers would actually provide shelter to pregnant women right up until the eligible date for legal abortion had passed. Then they would turn the women out. This is according to Peggy Romberg at Planned Parenthood. These hardline tactics, she says, have softened after a number of states began cracking down. Texas's own attorney general sued to prevent crisis pregnancy centers from advertising themselves as abortion providers in 1985. Because they have so little overhead, crisis pregnancy centers are proliferating while clinics offering actual medical care lag behind. And they're all pro-choice. Texas noted that as of December 2005, there were only 43 abortion providers in Texas compared with 183 crisis pregnancy centers. I think we all can agree that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. But these guys, and I actually have had people representing the forced pregnancy movement on this program, and I've said, you know, okay, if a woman is a murderer, how should she be put to death if she has an abortion? And they've said, well, it should be up to the state, you know, whatever the technique the state uses. 27 minutes past the hour. Back with your calls.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? To heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
You upgraded your digital camera to get better photographs. Now you need to upgrade the way you print photos, too. Upgrade to an ultra-high-definition photo printer, only from Epson. You can automatically correct contrast and adjust exposure and skin tones to maximize the lifelike beauty of your photographs. You can even remove red eye. The new Epson Ultra High-Definition Photo Printers, priced from $129 to $199. To learn more, visit Epson.com.
Feels like I get this same cold every year. So I got the same nighttime medicine I always get. But I was congested all night, so it wasn't the same.
Many cold medicines have changed. Nyquil Cold Flu Relief no longer has a decongestant. New Tylenol Cold Nighttime does. It helps relieve more of your worst cold symptoms, and it helps you sleep. It's one more step towards a pain-free world. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Cold. Take only as directed.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. After 5 weeks on picket lines, janitors in Houston spent Tuesday celebrating. Jesse Russell has more.
Chants of Yes We Can changed to Yes We Did Monday for Houston's striking janitors. They approved a historic contract giving them a raise of 26% over the next 3 years, an increase in hours and benefits. But most importantly, as noted by Flor Aguilar, they won respect.
But today we need to stand up and raise your head.
Yeah.
Very high.
Support is growing in big cities to legally require that workers get paid sick days. San Francisco voters passed a ballot initiative that gives up to 9 days of paid sick leave a year to full-time workers. A survey of public opinion in New York City shows 70% support for making paid sick leave available for all workers. That survey, conducted by Lake Research Partners for the Community Service Society, shows that 65% of New York City's working poor have no paid sick leave. Deborah Ness, president of the National Partnership for Women and Families, says nearly half of private sector workers have no paid sick days. She says low-wage workers are hit the hardest by having to lose pay when they're sick. Goodyear tires being produced by scab labor could be unsafe at any speed. The United Steelworkers Union is on strike against Goodyear in defense of retiree health benefits and to keep all the plants open. The union recently launched an ad that raises safety questions about Goodyear tires being produced during the strike.
When a major tire company used replacement workers during a strike, it led to labor strike.
and defective tires that helped create the Ford Explorer rollover disaster. A disaster linked by the federal government to 271 fatalities. Now Goodyear is using replacement workers to build its tires. What tires do you plan to buy?
It's official. With all votes in, Jim Hoffa has beat Tom Leadham 65-35% for another 5 years as Teamsters general president. Hoffa had claimed victory over the weekend as the votes were being counted. Leadham congratulated the Hoffa slate on their victory and wished them success as they take on the responsibility of rebuilding Teamster power.
Here is today's economic report. The White House has finally joined the chorus of economists suggesting that the economy is slowing. The President's Council of Economic Advisers now projects the gross domestic product will only grow by 3.1% in all of 2006. And in 2007, the economy will only expand by 2.9%. The primary strain on the economy is the housing sector, which plunged nearly 15% in October.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, president and founder of the Organic One Company. When our ads run on your program, Tom, our phone ring off the hook. So I encourage anyone to advertise, either locally or nationally, on your show, the Tom Hartman Program. Your listeners are clearly what's called in the industry our target audience. By the way, did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed crops there is? You see, the fundamental idea behind organic wine is that making wine with grapes grown without pesticides, herbicides, or chemical fertilizers is clearly better for our planet and, therefore, in all likelihood, better for you, the wine drinker. So for more information and to support ecologically healthy agriculture, please visit our site, www.ecowine.com, or call us. We always love to talk with Tom's listeners. 1-888-ECOWINE is our number.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, Defending America from the Conservative Weapons of Mass Deception. Tom Hartman here with you. You know, there's, in this whole abortion debate, you can go from the sublime to the absurd. Right? On the one hand, for example, for over 30 years, for almost 30 years, about 30 years more or less, ever since 78, yeah, 28 years, I've done volunteer work with an international relief organization based in Germany. It's called Kinder und Jugendhilfswerk Salem. And the reason, which is the reason why I've ended up in all these weird war zones and, you know, in the Medellin Valley in Colombia and in Uganda during the war with Idi Amin and in Egypt when Sadat was shot and in Lima, Peru when the Shining Path blew up the presidential palace, et cetera, all that stuff that is in my bio that people say, oh, you must work for the CIA. No, it's we build hospitals. But in any case, the founder of this organization, Gottfried Müller, who's now 92 years old, and in many ways my mentor. I wrote a book about him called The Prophet's Way. He, at one point, this was maybe 25 years ago, he decided he was personally opposed to abortion. He thought that, you know, that abortion was, personally, for him, he felt that it was morally wrong. But he also felt that he had no right in inflicting his morality on others, and certainly the law made abortion legal. So how do you resolve this dilemma, particularly if, you know, and do something good in the world? So what he did, because he ran a chain of communities for abused and orphaned kids around Germany, what he did was he printed up some ads and some posters that said, if you're pregnant and you want to carry the baby to term, but you
can't because of economic reasons, because there are some abortions that come about as a result of that, then we will provide you with housing and food and transportation throughout your pregnancy and for the first year thereafter, if you would like. We're here for you. No coercion, no funny stuff, no flim-flam, no we're going to pretend that we're going to do abortion and then you know, it's terrifying, nothing like that. So that's on the sublime side. That's the kind of reasonable side. On the unreasonable side, you got people like Neil Horsley. Neil Horsley, this is great. Neil Horsley was being interviewed by Alan Colmes about, I don't know, 6 months ago or so on the Alan Colmes show, Alan Colmes of Fox News. And this clip kind of got out into the blogosphere, and we put a little bit of Mr. Ed into it. You'll hear why in just a second. Here's Neil Horsley being interviewed by Alan Colmes.
You are known for your anti-abortion and anti-homosexual views.
Now, let me just insert, by the way. In fact, let me start this over again. Neil Horsley is the guy who runs the website where they put up pictures of abortion doctors and put a big red X through them when they are murdered. That's what this guy does, okay? Neil Horsley. He's like one of the leading anti-abortion guys in the country.
You are known for your anti-abortion and anti-homosexual views. You had sex with animals?
When you grow up on a farm in Georgia, your first girlfriend is the mule.
I'm not so sure that is so.
You didn't grow up on a farm in Georgia. Did you?
Are you suggesting that everybody who grows up on a farm in Georgia has a mule as a girlfriend?
I'm saying that it has historically been the case. You people are so far removed from the
reality. Look, I'll admit, Neil, I'm a city boy. I don't know a lot about growing up on a farm.
Well, welcome to domestic life on the farm.
But I think for you to say,
welcome to domestic.
There are a lot of people listening to you right, Neil. There are a lot of people listening to you right now who live on farms, are raising kids on farms, who grew up on farms, and I don't think they're dating Elsie right now. You know what I'm saying?
The fact of the matter is, don't know that in fact you experiment with anything that moves when you're growing up sexually, you're naive, and you know better than that. You know yourself. If it's warm and if it's damp and it vibrates, you might in fact have sex with it.
No, not me.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes,
no,
you
thanks.
Oh, come on, you know. I've had sex with anything that would move.
Right.
If we had a warm watermelon out in the field, I might give it a name.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ray.
Yeah, so our little packaged discussion between Alan Colmes and Neil Horsley. Neil Horsley, one of the leaders of the anti-abortion movement in the United States at the time of that interview. I don't think he is anymore, but at the time of that interview. So, I mean, there's a serious side to this. There's a really serious side to this, and a lot of this has to do with the control of women. And that's why I suggested that men really should not have any say in this issue, frankly. I mean, Louise and I have three children. Louise has been pregnant four times. She had a miscarriage. And I delivered two out of those three children, one at home and one in a birthing center. Well, actually, Louise would say she delivered them. I caught them. And obviously, I was involved in the pregnancies. And I still can't imagine. I can't imagine what it would be like to have something growing inside me. I just, you know, I can't imagine it. The plus side or the negative side. I mean, something that could kill you as well. Because the risk of an abortion medically is less than the risk of having a pregnancy, a full-term pregnancy. More women die from pregnancy than from abortion. I mean, it's just a simple statistic. I just can't imagine it. And so I don't think that I should be the one who has a say in it. And the other thing is this whole issue of men making decisions for women. I mean, here we have, you know, millennia of patriarchy. Anyway, 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Ken in Sacramento, California. Hey, Ken, what's on your mind today?
Well, I have two questions for you, Tom, and I'll take the answers off the air, but here they are. Why is the left not giving the environmental argument and the economic argument for women's rights? The environmental argument being overpopulation, fresh water and food allocation, and raw material allocation. When you begin to have such high societal population pressures, what kind of future are we giving these children anyways?
Right. Well, if you apply those arguments to birth control, they make a lot of sense. If you apply them to abortion, then the other side starts screaming euthanasia, and that's why nobody's willing to go there.
Well, what about the argument for creating an economic environment in which these women that are having these children can actually afford to have them? As far as I can tell, if you create an environment where you have universal health care, guaranteed, well, not guaranteed employment, but at least, you know, a fair wage coming in, isn't there more of an inclination to keep the children?
Well, and yes, absolutely. And in fact, oddly enough, the conservatives are totally opposed to that. Now, I can't speak for the abortion, the forced pregnancy movement, but they call themselves the pro-life movement, although many of them are in favor of the death penalty and wars in Iraq and things like that. So let's talk about what it is. It's forced pregnancy. I can't speak for them, but
And just one last thing. I think from your position, if you really start arguing again, we're men. We really don't have a say in this. I think that is absolutely correct, and it should be hammered. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Ken. Good talking to you. Paula in Bayonne, New Jersey. Hey, Paula.
Hi, Tom. There are just a few points about your guest. One, he implied that abortion clinics pressure women to have abortions, yet provided no examples. Two, in fact,
that the record shows very clearly that clinics that offer abortion services and other prenatal services are not selling abortion. They're not pushing abortion. Nobody is enthusiastic about abortion. I don't know anybody who is. I've never met anybody who is.
Two, you didn't ask him. He, you know, talked about the compassionate care that they give women with crisis pregnancies. How long does that last? Do they go through the pregnancy with it? Do they check up? Or does it end at the decision, you know, to carry the pregnancy to term? I mean, do they call up the mother, make sure she has daycare?
Well, what they were doing in Texas until the attorney general stopped them in 1985 was they were offering them shelter, a place to live and food and services and money until they had reached the point, I think it was the end of the second trimester, the 6 months, after that abortion was illegal in Texas. And so the day after the woman could no longer legally get an abortion, then they said, okay, you're on your own.
And my third point is, why aren't they fighting to guarantee high-quality, government-funded prenatal care for every woman who conceives a child?
Because this is about the ideology, Paul. Yeah, I mean, you're asking the rational questions, and I find it a little uncomfortable trying to take their position because I don't, you know, I'm not in their place. But that, yeah, good point.
And I just want to make like a personal point. I'm 37 years old. My husband and I made a decision not to have a child. We take every precaution that medical science is given to us to prevent that from happening. But if it happens, should I be forced at 37 to have a baby I don't want?
Well, according to our guest, yes. And in my mind, no. And I think it should be your decision. It should be between you, your doctor, and, you know, whatever.
And how many people would be willing to adopt the child of a 37-year-old woman?
Well, or just adopt a child in general. I mean, I can tell you, having worked in the child welfare system broadly, that there are tens of thousands of children in the United States right now looking for adoptive homes and not finding them. And if these guys put half as much effort into, and thank you, Paula, for the call, if they put half as much effort into finding homes for those children who are born and who actually need a home, or the children living in poverty. I mean, here, this report that came out today, I want to get into this as well, and we'll get back to your calls right after the break, but this report, 35 million people in the United States are living in food insecurity. They literally don't know where their next meal is going to come from. 35 million born people. 45 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide non-insurance medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of your current health condition. As a member, you'll save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest health care networks in the country. To sign up or learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your health care every year, call for your your free brochure. 1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036. Or you can visit Qualified Health on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Healthcare membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today. 1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
A new book says prehistoric people were not mighty hunters. In fact, they might have been the hunted instead. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. In the early 1900s, an anthropologist found fossilized human skulls in a cave in Africa, and they showed a lot of physical damage. Next to the skulls were leg bones of a prehistoric antelope. The scientists concluded that ancient people were a violent group and that they used bones and other weapons to kill animals and to kill each other. A new book says our human ancestors were not fighting each other. In fact, they needed to work together just to survive. Donna Hart helped write the book. She says it draws from another interpretation of human fossils by a different anthropologist.
He found a skull of a fossil hominid, and there were two dime-sized holes in the back of the skull. He also found some ancestral leopard fangs attached to a bottom jaw, and he found that those fit perfectly into these holes.
Some human skulls that are more than a million years old show marks that match with the teeth of animals like saber-toothed tigers and giant hyenas. Hart says our ancient ancestors might have been part of the regular diet for these big animals. She says that constant threat might have forced people to work together to help each other survive.
So instead of thinking of humans as descending from a line of very violent animals, we might be more accurate to think about the fact that we've had millions of years of history as very cooperative social mammals.
That's Donna Hart. She's an anthropologist at the University of Missouri in St. Louis and helped write the book Man the Hunted, Primates, Predators, and Human Evolution. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Have you recently graduated from college with a ton of student loans? Are you wondering how you're ever going to pay them off? Student Loan Financial Group can help. If you owe $10,000 or more in federal student loans, have more than one federal student loan, and have graduated, you need to take advantage of our free U.S. government program and call Student Loan Financial Group today at 1-800-349-8277. Call now and speak to a live consolidation expert who can help you free some of that financial pressure. Breathe easier and start saving money for the things that you need. The consolidation process is free and there are no prepayment fees. Call us today, 1-800-349-8277. With fixed rates as low as 4.5%, Student Loan Financial Group offers the best benefits in the industry, which can reduce your student loan payments by up to 60%. The consolidation process takes less than 5 minutes. Call Student Loan Financial Group today at 1-800-349-8277. That's 1-800-349-8277.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
Strangers on the right, invading Congress. Strangers on the right, impeding progress. They'll put up a fight. Two liberals like you. Something in their eyes resembles fire. Roe v. Wade's demise is their desire. Cutting down to size those states that still are blue.
And welcome back. Coming up on 9 minutes before the hour. Yeah, strangers on the right, I'll tell you. Welcome back to the True People's Radio, the Tom Hartman program. At the same time that $60 million in federal money is going to these so-called crisis pregnancy centers, these anti-abortion counseling centers, shall we say. The Agriculture Department released a survey today.
Last year, and two interesting things about this survey. First are the statistics in it, and the second is the use of the words. In the report, the terms low food security and very low food security are used to replace the old descriptions. See, prior to the Bush administration, prior to this year, actually, we used to refer to food insecurity without hunger. In other words, people don't know where their next meal is coming from, but they do have access to resources where they can find food, like a shelter down the street kind of thing, and food insecurity with hunger. In other words, literally, people are going to go to bed hungry that night, period. No disagreement on it. There are 10.8 million people in the United States who have what is referred to now as very low food insecurity, or very low food security, what used to be referred to as food insecurity with hunger. And an additional 24 million people with low food security, what used to be referred to as food insecurity without hunger. And we're going to put all kinds of money and resources into making abortion illegal. Sean in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Tom. Hey, this isn't why I called, but I wanted to tell you, didn't you hear that Neil Horsley is now a Democrat?
You're kidding.
No, because, you know, he found out that mules are more sexually promiscuous than elephants. See, I always come in with a really good Neil Horsley joke. It's really strange that you brought him in.
You do,
anyway,
Sean.
That's my third in a row, by the way. For any of you...
For those people who have been listening for more than a year.
Oh, I've been listening to you for about six, actually.
Yeah, we've been on the air for a little over 3.5 years, so it's been that. You've been right from the very beginning, Sean.
Well,
I appreciate it.
It was when you were with...
with IE America Radio, yeah. It was about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Me and Mike Malloy and the bunch, yeah.
Hey, I don't know why anybody doesn't bring this up to wackos like Chris. What about all the post-birth abortions that we've killed in Iraq over the last 3 years? The people that have already been born.
Yeah, good point. And not just that. I mean, if you've got 10.8 million people who have very low food security, that is to say food insecurity with hunger, that you are in the process, you are doing slow whatever. I mean, I don't even want to call it an abortion, but it's just, you're absolutely right, Sean, and well said. Thanks a lot for the call. Great to hear from you. Is it Ian in San Francisco?
Hi, Tom.
Hi,
yeah.
Ian.
I wanted to follow up a little bit on this prenatal care.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I think these people should be asked is, and this would really put them on the spot, I think, they say they care about the fetus, they say they're pro-life. Well, would they ever agree to government financing of prenatal care for undocumented aliens?
I suspect that they would in a heartbeat, since they end up with the money, and because they, I think that their ideology transcends national borders. In a heartbeat, they would say that they want the money to talk women out of having an abortion, even if they're not citizens of the United States.
Well,
I'm sure that they would.
What I'm getting at, though, is that generally in the Congress, if you look at the conservatives who support the so-called pro-life movement, they vote against expanding government-financed prenatal care.
Right across the board, whether it's for illegal aliens or for American citizens.
One other thought is when you talk to these guys in the future and they call it murder, you might mention that in most places murder has no statute of limitations. So that means that all the people... the relatives that you know in your family, anybody who's had an abortion in the past in a state that has a murder law, and they all do, is guilty and could be charged now. It's not like it's just in the future.
Well, as I said, I've had these guys on this program, and I've asked them that question, and he says, nice try. But I've had other ones say, it's murder. It should be however the state executes people. That's how they should do it. Ian, got to run along. Thanks a lot for the call, though. I appreciate it. Charles in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Charles.
What's going on?
Hey, I'm here. What's up?
I just want to say, if we had some type of real adoption in this nation, that might help alleviate a lot of what's going on with our abortion problems.
I agree. Our abortion, the number of abortions that we have in the United States could be dramatically reduced, and not to say that it's super high to begin with, but could be dramatically reduced by improving the economy, so that people who would like to have children feel safe to do so, number one, and improving and number two, by having a national health care system. Frankly, I think that would have some impact on it. And number three, by improving adoption services. You're absolutely right. It's really, this is not rocket science. Charles, thanks a lot for the call. Jeff in El Cerrito, California. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Tom. Hey, I first of all, that guest, did you say $60 million is being spent on with taxpayer money being
spent?
Yeah,
nationwide.
Yeah.
Supporting these kind of programs.
And of course, that's completely obscene. And I found the guest's sort of position about criminalizing, what we should do with women who have abortions, I found it totally inconsistent. But I'm a registered libertarian. I voted for Democrats down the line this year, and I really am not as interested in the economic benefits of having Democrats office. I want civil liberties to be really the number one watchword again.
Yeah,
I don't know
I agree.
If that's realistic, but
Jeff, I agree, because we're watching 230 years of democracy that Americans have fought and died for, have bled over, have invested our wealth and our energy and our lives in, being drained down the pick your metaphor, by this administration with the Military Commissions Act and things like this. 57 minutes past the hour. We'll be back after the news.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman. Available in all fine bookstores now.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Air America Radio News. I'm Emily Hoffman. News brought to you by the SEIU Service Employees International Union, the fastest growing union in North America at SEIU.org. The cycle of violence continues in Iraq, where police say Shiite militiamen grabbed six Sunnis as they left worship services today and burned them alive. And residents of a Shiite enclave in Baghdad say a U.S. helicopter opened fire after militiamen attacked it from the ground. Meanwhile, a powerful legislative bloc loyal to Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has threatened to boycott the government if the Iraqi prime minister goes ahead with plans to meet with George Bush next week in Jordan. And all of this because of supposed weapons of mass destruction. Well, the New York Times is reporting that a previously undisclosed video shot in the months before the U.S. invasion in 2003 shows Saddam Hussein and his top officers demonstrating not biological or nuclear weapons, but primitive slingshots, Molotov cocktails, and crossbows. An emergency panel is meeting in Britain over the suspected poisoning death of a former Russian spy. British officials say a major dose of a radioactive element was found in the body of the ex-KGB agent. A government official says authorities are evaluating whether it's safe to perform an autopsy, among other issues. Employees at the Miami Herald have been told to evacuate after an armed man entered the building. The newspaper reports on its website that a man walked into the sixth-floor newsroom, appeared agitated, and demanded to see the editor of the Herald's Spanish-language publication. Police are on the scene, and it's not yet known if there are any injuries or hostages in the building. And this year, Thanksgiving is a two-day affair. Thanks yesterday, giving today. At the urging of a Massachusetts-based philanthropy group, some states have proclaimed today a giving day. The catalog for philanthropy, rather, so far has persuaded 11 states to make giving day a part of their official calendars. The goal of giving day is to encourage people to do what they can for charity, either through donations, contributions, or volunteering. Air America News.
It's sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice. Authentic flavored Mahatma and Carolina Rice mixes are delicious and ready in just 20 minutes. Try some today. Look for Mahatma or Carolina Rice mixes at your local grocer.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4290. 800-995-4290.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Callers' information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
With energy costs on the rise and cooler weather around the corner, isn't it time to replace your home's windows? Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilt-in easy for cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-349-2532 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and ask about our special financing terms. You can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you have come to expect for over 100 years, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call now for your free in-home consultation. Offer ends 12/30/06. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now. 1-800-349-2532. Ask about our special financing terms. That's 1-800-349-2532.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-700-6439. That's 1-800-700-6439. 1-800-700-6439.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded? Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Our quote for the day from Thomas Jefferson, a letter to Archibald Stewart in 1791. I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than those attending too small a degree of it. Also coming up on today's program, Congressman Jim McDermott will be here. Some interesting stuff going on up in Washington State and around the country. And that's going to be an interesting conversation, I guarantee it. Right now, David Tebow is with us. He is the editor-in-chief at the conservative Cybercast News Service. CNSnews.com is their website. And David, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be with you.
You were recently in the hospital.
I was. Well, it's really a situation that started 5 years ago when I had testicular cancer, and then the three drugs used to treat me and radiation, some combination thereof, recently caused leukemia, which is not unheard of in cases like that, but it was about a 1 to 3% chance that I would get leukemia from the treatments 5 years ago, and wouldn't you know it, I fell into the 1 to 3%.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm about to go back into the hospital on Wednesday to get more chemotherapy. This will be my second round. I was in the hospital for about 5 weeks recently.
This is to kill off the now cancerous bone marrow, right?
Which they have gotten rid of all of the leukemia. I am in technically remission right now. But I am awaiting a bone marrow transplant, and that's kind of the iffy issue, although at this point they have found five preliminary matches on the bone marrow registry program, so I'm really encouraged by
that. That's good news. That's good news. And if people want to learn more about the bone marrow registry transplant program and all that sort of thing, they can just go to tomhartman.com, and right at the top of our little list of you know, hey, here's what's new is a link that goes right to it, as well as to cnsnews.com. And I'm assuming you've got some information over on your website?
You know, I haven't posted anything. I'm not that self-indulgent.
Well, I think you should.
You've been very gracious and indulgent of this, Tom, and I really appreciate it. It's not something that comes naturally to me to throw my own individual case out there.
Well, that's probably true of all of us. If I was going through this, I probably wouldn't be, you know, my own website asking for help or assistance, but would appreciate it from others too. I think that's just probably, you know, human nature.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, David, what we're going to talk about today is our healthcare system.
Sure.
And you're, you know, smack dab in the middle of it. I'm assuming you have health insurance.
I do, thankfully, or I would be broke at this point.
Yeah, so, you know, there's 46 million Americans who don't, and many of them have found themselves in situations not all that dissimilar from yours.
Right.
Why do you oppose national health care?
Well, nobody, first of all, Tom, let me state that nobody in their right mind would want anybody not to have health care insurance. You'd have to be one mean SOB to want to prevent or want to stop health insurance from being applied to everybody. The problem is that when you try to get a big government approach, price fixing, government mandates on the healthcare industry, you reduce incentive for research and development. In my own case, I've been very fortunate, I've been treated at one of the finest hospitals in the world, Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. They're not only a treatment hospital, they're a research hospital. And they had me involved in several research projects when I was in the hospital recently. If you impose government mandates and price fixing on an organization like that, you will, by its nature, Tom, reduce the incentive for research, development, advances in medical science.
I don't disagree, and I don't know anybody, at least at the national level with any prominence, who's suggesting those things. So most of the voices that I'm hearing, for example, last week in Seattle, I spoke at a group of Physicians for Social Responsibility. Last year, I was a keynote speaker at the Physicians for National Healthcare annual convention in San Francisco. That was 2 years ago. And everybody that I'm hearing from, particularly the physicians who are advocating for a national healthcare program, are calling for something like what Germany has, which is basically a single-payer system where the government is the insurance company. And, you know, everybody pays into it. It is a shared risk pool, and the government writes the checks for health care. And I mean, we have a situation. This today's Wall Street Journal article by James Bandler and Charles Farrell. United Health Group chairman and CEO William McGuire is stepping down. This is a guy who last year was paid $1.78 billion.
Right.
This guy is a leech sucking on your and my backs. Why should we have people like this in the middle of our healthcare system as intermediaries between you and me and our physicians, when instead we could have, a bureaucrat with green eye shades who's paid, you know, just a basic government salary and is paid to do their job, that which is to make sure that the health care is delivered, rather than paid to make sure that William McGuire can make another $1 billion.
That's obviously an excess, Tom, but wouldn't you agree that the United States is the best medical system in the world?
No. No, I lived in Germany for a year, and I used their medical health care system. We took our kids for routine things. At one point, I thought I might have been having a heart attack. I went into the emergency room. I've seen every dimension of their health care system. It works brilliantly. You show up, you give them your card with your number, and that's it.
I think most people believe that the United States has the best health care system.
I think most Americans believe that, but anybody who's ever been outside this country and used any other health care system doesn't. And if you look at the statistics, David, we don't by any measure. There is no measure. There is no index. Indices?
Uh-huh.
You know, index that shows. I mean, we rank 23rd in the world in infant mortality. We were 12th in 1960, by the way, when hospitals in all but three states in the United States were required to be nonprofit corporations. Now that they're a for-profit, we're 23rd in infant mortality.
But let me ask you this. Why is it that when any foreign dignitary gets sick with a life-threatening disease, they come to the United States for treatment?
Well, it's not true of any foreign dignitary. It's true of generally third-world foreign dignitaries.
It's true of a lot of
the Shah of Iran came here because he didn't want to get assassinated.
I mean, look at the Canadian health care system. You have people crossing the border into the United States to get health care because they're placed on waiting lists.
Actually, that's only true of plastic surgery, of cosmetic surgery. I lived within an hour of the Canadian border for 10 years in Vermont, and I can tell you every Saturday in Montpelier, there was a busload of people, 20, 30, 40 people, mostly elderly people, who got together to go up to Canada to get health care.
Well,
they get
prescriptions in
That's
Canada.
Right.
But
That's
when
right.
it comes to...
But there were no Canadians coming down and using our health care system. None.
Well, I know of many Canadians who've come to the United States for treatment.
As I said, for discretionary health care. I mean, if you want to get a nose job, or if you want to get, well, actually in Canada you can get it if you just want to pay for it.
No,
the United
if you
States
want
ranks
better health care, Tom. You come to the United States. I mean, that's just
David,
the way it is.
David, the fact that Canada's system may not be perfect or might not even be the very best doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to create one here. We rank 20th in life expectancy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We were first in 1945. We were 13th in 1960. Since our system has become for-profit instead of not-for-profit, we're down to 20th in life expectancy. We're 21st
in life
expectancy.
Remember what our population has done, too. It has become much more stratified. You have, you know, a much larger percentage of people who are poor, a much larger percentage of people who do not practice good health habits. You know, when you have 300
Actually, we have less smoking now, David. I'll go along with you that ever since Reagan declared war on the middle class, that we've got a lot of people who've slid from the middle class into the working poor.
You have 300 million people in this country now. I mean, that's what the issue is.
But
and
we're
so
talking
you have a lot more poor people.
I'm talking per capita, not absolute numbers. The United States ranks between 50th and 100th in immunizations, depending on which immunization you want to measure it by. Overall, if you average them all out, we're 67th in the world behind Botswana.
You and I have talked about this issue on several fronts. It comes down to whether you believe free enterprise and capitalism is a better way to go, or whether you believe a socialist system run by the government is a better way to go.
And in that regard, I think that here's the argument that I'd make, David. I want free enterprise and capitalism making my shoes, making my computer, making my house, making my car. I don't want the government mm-hmm. involved in those things. But when it comes to things that have to do with life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the foundational survival stuff, our fire, our police, our educational system, our roads, and frankly, our health care, mm-hmm. I think that there's a role for government to play. I would much rather have a hospital that's interested in knowing whether I'm well than is interested in knowing whether it's profitable.
So it's okay for a shoe manufacturer to grow up and want to make a killing in the market, but it's not okay for somebody to want to grow up to be a doctor and make a killing in the market. Is that right?
I would say it depends on how you define a killing in the market. But, yeah, I would much rather go to a doctor who went into medicine, and that's who I met when I was in Germany, people who, because the doctors there make about $120,000 a year, period, and who went into medicine because they love medicine rather than went into medicine because they thought it was the fastest way to make $2 million. You would disagree?
I guess we're going to commercial.
Yeah. You want to stick around and we'll continue the conversation?
I think
Just stick around, David. We'll continue this. It's 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman program. We're talking with David Tebow.
Here's an important toll-free number for anyone struggling with more than $15,000 in student loan debt. 1-866-600-2138.
Student Loan Consolidation Center. How can I help you?
Yeah, I just graduated in May, but I'm thousands of dollars in debt. Can you help?
You could reduce your monthly payments by up to 50% with a federally guaranteed consolidation loan. I can tell you if you qualify right away. Student Loan Consolidation Center.
Hi. I've heard that consolidating my son's loans may make good financial sense. How does your program work?
It's easy. I combine your loans into a federally guaranteed loan at an affordable fixed rate that may be tax deductible. There are no fees, and you could lower your monthly payments by up to 50%.
All over America, people are calling the Student Loan Consolidation Center and reducing loan payments by up to 50%. You can, too. Call toll-free 1-866-600-2138 now for a free consultation. 1-866-600-2138. Call now.
At last, the national government is responding to the widening gap and the severe economic side effects of greed-fueled globalization by extending real power to labor unions and cracking down on sweatshop goods. Unfortunately, this national government is not our own. It's China's. Yes, the Chinese rulers, who have a brutal record of repressing labor, have suddenly embraced a new doctrine of protecting worker rights. This is not altruism at work, but self-preservation. The ruling elites are in a sweat over massive social unrest there. So they've proposed a new law to empower formerly toothless labor unions to negotiate on wages, safety protections, and workplace rules. Now, guess who is howling in protest? Dell, Ford, GE, Microsoft, Nike, and other brand-name corporate giants that have been abandoning U.S. workers and communities for Chinese sweatshops. They have profited for years on the backs of China's impoverished workers, hiding behind the doctrinaire hokum that globalized sweatshops will somehow, sometime, raise the living standards of those workers. As the surge of Chinese social unrest indicates, however, workers are no longer swallowing the hokum, and the time for pushback is now. Expatriate U.S. corporations are lobbying ferociously to get China's government to drop its labor reforms, wailing that the new laws amount to socialism. Socialism in a communist country? Imagine. Well, say the Dells and Nikes, these rules would make it more difficult for them to fire workers. Well, duh, yes. The corporations might ask their former American workers, and that seems unfair. This is Jim Hightower saying, what must the Chinese people think? Just as they might get a small break, here comes the U.S. of A., represented by these greed-headed corporations, stomping on their dreams. Who elected Dell, Nike, and the rest to do this in our names?
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt-cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder, millions of jobs are being exported, and now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout, America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect a worker's right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired. The way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Thunder on the mountain and as far as the moon. The ruckus in the alley and the sun will be as you. Today's the day you're gonna grab my trombone and blow. Well, it's hot stuff here and it's everywhere I go.
And welcome back to the pill. We'll help you escape the matrix. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. 21 minutes past the hour. We're talking with David Tebow of the Conservative Cybercast News Service. Before we get back to that, just a quick note. Friday, October 27th, from 7 to 9 p.m., the University of San Francisco, I, along with Rachel Maddow, Stephanie Miller, and Johnny Steele, local progressive comedian in San Francisco, will be debating Jack Armstrong, Joe Getty, Jerry Doyle, and Rusty Humphreys, moderated by the Honorable Willie Brown. University of San Francisco War Memorial Gymnasium is put on by our affiliate in San Francisco, the Quake, KQKE, and you can get free tickets in advance by going to quakeradio.com and download the tickets and show up. We need a good cheering section. Wouldn't that be a fine thing? And also a quick thank you to the folks at Book TV, C-SPAN, for running the book signing that I did at Vox Pop in Brooklyn a while back. And if you have a chance to send a quick note to booktv@cspan.org and thank them for showing that, if you saw it, that I'm sure that would be appreciated. David Tebow, Cybercast News Service, cnsnews.com. David, here's an example. A dear friend of mine, a guy I've known for years and years, Louis Malmadrona, who wrote several books about medicine, actually, Coyote Medicine, Coyote Healing. He's a Native American, was practicing in the United States and got so fed up because Lewis went into medicine to be a doctor, not to get rich, and Lewis has never gotten rich as a doctor. I mean, he's done okay, but you know, he got so fed up with the fact that he was spending half his time dealing with insurance companies and half his time dealing with drug company hustlers that he moved to Canada to practice medicine. He's now practicing. He's also teaching medicine at the university in I believe it's Calgary or Winnipeg, one or the other, and he's practicing medicine there. In fact, he was just down here a month or two ago, staying at our house over the weekend. And telling us these horror stories about the American healthcare system and the insurance industry. What's wrong with having doctors who go into medicine because they want to be doctors, not because they want to get rich?
Who are altruistic. Yeah.
Yeah.
God bless those individuals who are self-sacrificing, Tom, who do want to be altruistic and don't care about...
Well, it's not self-sacrificing to make $125,000 a year.
Well, compared to other individuals in the industry, that represents some form of self-sacrifice. I mean, it represents a willingness not to get very rich, which people in the medical industry have the potential to do.
But see, I don't think they should. I think that the medical industry should be, for the same reason that I don't think that firefighters or policemen should, you know, I think that they're underpaid. But I don't think that we should say, oh, well, police is important, so let's make
right.
it possible so that the top cop can make $5 million a year.
Well,
does that make any
nature,
sense?
Well, it's human nature, Tom, for somebody to grow up and want to be a doctor or a lawyer, and the anticipation is that person's going to make a lot of money. I mean, that's been the legacy in this country for a very long time. You know that. I mean, most families...
No, it hasn't been, David.
Most families dream of a child growing up to be either a doctor or a lawyer.
But doctors and lawyers in the United States up until the last 25 or 30 years, by and large, were the upper middle class. They weren't the extremely wealthy.
Well, you have attorneys, trial attorneys, who are more liberal than conservative, who are making a filthy, stinking amount of money.
And they're a small minority of attorneys. But we're not talking about the law right now.
Well, you're talking, but
that is a privatized industry.
Enterprise and capitalism, Tom.
Sure.
And when you talk about the medical industry and you're willing to criticize the medical industry, I mean, where do you want to go next in terms of socializing an industry in the United States? Should we socialize legal practice?
Well, first of all, I'm not calling for socialized medicine. In England, they have socialized medicine where the doctors actually work for the government. I don't think that the doctors should work for the government.
Did you support Clinton Care in the mid-90s when
No.
Hillary Clinton developed
No.
her plan?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
No, because
that was a hopelessly bureaucratic plan that even Democrats said was crazy.
Yeah, because it kept the health insurance companies intact. I mean, they were trying to you know, make nice with everybody. I know. There's a lot of areas where Bill Clinton and I go in different directions.
Would you have gone farther than where the Clintons went?
Yes, I think that we should go to a single payer system. I think that, and we already have one right now. Medicare is delivering health care in the United States with about a 2.5% overhead. Period. 2.5% overhead. Now, the insurance companies come along and they say, we can deliver medicine for 2% overhead. And they're right. But you know what the average overhead is for health insurance companies in the United States? It ranges from 15.5% to 30%. Now, they're delivering health care for 2%. But the balance of that is going for CEO salaries, stockholder dividends, corporate jets with gold-plated bathrooms, the whole bit. And we don't need all that stuff. Why don't we simply say Medicare for everybody in the United States? Deliver health care for 2%. Everybody can be insured, and it'll actually cost us less than we're paying right now for health care.
We don't need it, but you're dismissing human nature, Tom.
You've got 46 million uninsured people. How can you say we don't need it?
I'm not saying that we don't need to insure the 46 million people. Remember what I said originally. No one in their right mind would want to deny health insurance to any one individual.
Then how are you going to give that health insurance to all Americans?
Look at Massachusetts. Massachusetts has created a nimbler system. It's a state-run system that is including everybody under its health care umbrella.
Right, but they're still using the health insurance companies, and so what they're doing is they're forcing taxpayers to make sure that the health insurance companies are making big dividends and the CEOs are making big salaries.
When you get Washington to dictate across the country, you've got trouble.
You want to continue this conversation with our callers?
Sure.
Okay, stick around. David Tebow is with us, the Cybercast News Service, cnsnews.com. Our telephone number, 1-866-440-8466. Yes, our phones are working again. 866-440-8466. We'll be right back. 27 minutes past the hour.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide non-insurance medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of your current health condition. As a member, you'll save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest health care networks in the country. To sign up or learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your health care every year, call for your free brochure, 1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036. Or you can visit Qualified Health on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Healthcare membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today. 1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
If you're a college graduate and you owe at least $15,000 in student loans, here's a toll-free number you should know.
1-866-600-3019.
Or if you borrowed money to put a child through college and are now coping with big monthly payments, call toll-free.
1-866-600-3019.
Talk to a specially trained counselor about a federally backed consolidation loan that could cut your monthly college debt payments by up to 50%. It's easy to qualify right over the phone.
1-866-600-3019.
Find out how to lock in a fixed interest rate that will never go up, regardless of the economy, and get terms that could drive your rate even lower.
1-866-600-3019.
Call toll-free today to learn how a federally backed consolidation loan can work for you.
1-866-600-3019.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. After 5 weeks on picket lines, janitors in Houston spent Tuesday celebrating. Jesse Russell has more.
Chants of Yes We Can changed to Yes We Did Monday for Houston's striking janitors. They approved a historic contract giving them a raise of 26% over the next 3 years, an increase in hours and benefits. But most importantly, as noted by Flor Aguilar, they won respect.
But today, thinking you stand up and raise your head.
Get up!
Very high.
Support is growing in big cities to legally require that workers get paid sick days. San Francisco voters passed a ballot initiative that gives up to 9 days of paid sick leave a year to full-time workers. A survey of public opinion in New York City shows 70% support for making paid sick leave available for all workers. That survey, conducted by Lake Research Partners for the Community Service Society, shows that 65% of New York City's working poor have no paid sick leave. Deborah Ness, president of the National Partnership for Women and Families, says nearly half of private sector workers have no paid sick days. She says low-wage workers are hit the hardest by having to lose pay when they're sick. Goodyear tires being produced by scab labor could be unsafe at any speed. The United Steelworkers Union is on strike against Goodyear in defense of retiree health benefits and to keep all the plants open. The union recently launched an ad that raises safety questions about Goodyear tires being produced during the strike.
When a major tire company used replacement workers during a strike, it led to labor strife and defective tires that helped create the Ford Explorer rollover disaster. A disaster linked by the federal government to 271 fatalities. Now Goodyear is using replacement workers to build its tires. What tires do you plan to buy?
It's official. With all votes in, Jim Hoffa has beat Tom Leadham 65-35% for another 5 years as Teamsters general president. Hoffa had claimed victory over the weekend as the votes were being counted. Leadham congratulated the Hoffa slate on their victory and wished them success as they take on the responsibility of rebuilding Teamster power.
Here is today's economic report. The White House has finally joined the chorus of economists suggesting that the economy is slowing. The President's Council of Economic Advisers now projects the gross domestic product will only grow by 3.1% in all of 2006. And in 2007, the economy will only expand by 2.9%. The primary strain on the economy is the housing sector, which plunged nearly 15% in October.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, president and founder of the Organic One Company. When our ads run on your program, Tom, our phone rings off the hook. So I encourage anyone to advertise, either locally or nationally, on your show, the Tom Hartman Program. Your listeners are clearly what's called in the industry our target audience. By the way, did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed crops there is? You see, the fundamental idea behind organic wine is that making wine with grapes grown without pesticides, herbicides, or chemical fertilizers is clearly better for our planet and, therefore, in all likelihood, better for you, the wine drinker. So for more information and to support ecologically healthy agriculture, please visit our site, www.ecowine.com, or call us. We always love to talk with Tom's listeners. 1-888-ECOWINE is our number.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
You can cry if you want to. You can rage at the night. You can blame all your wounds on the world if you like. You can drink from the bottle. No ice and no glass. You can lie in the morning and say it's your last. But you won't stop there. No, you won't stop there. You can tell yourself different, but you won't stop there.
And welcome back to Listener Supported Radio, the Tom Hartman Radio Program, brought to you by Sacred Grounds Coffee, saving the planet one cup at a time. 1-800-425-2532, sacredgroundscoffee.com, the website. Small Dog Electronics, get the latest iPods now, 1-800-511-MAX, smalldog.com, their website, and the Organic Wine Company, Want Eco Wine, 1-888-ECOWINE, their telephone number, ecowine.com. We're talking with David Tebow of the Cybercast News Service, CNSNews.com, and talking about healthcare in the United States. And David, we've got a whole bunch of callers here on this topic.
Right.
And I'm going to a fairly large extent, just get out of the way and let you talk with these folks.
Sure.
Is that all right with you?
Sure.
Okay. Mike in Ontario, Canada. You're live with David Tebow.
Yeah, I'm listening to this gentleman on the phone here, and I just had to call in. One thing Canadians can't take is when Americans who don't know anything about Canada start talking about what's going on up here. Most of the people who cross the border to get procedures done in America are people who can afford to go to a private clinic. It's mainly MRIs and, like, CAT scans. Because, I mean, in Canada, we only have 30 million people, and if you're not in one of the major cities, CAT scans aren't readily available. So if you don't want to go on the waiting list and wait, you know, how many weeks or whatever to get a CAT scan or MRI done, you can just pay and go pay out of pocket and go to Buffalo. But I don't know anybody who would leave a Canadian hospital to go get treatment in America. I mean, that's just not what's going on at all.
Well, MRIs and CAT scans are treatment. I mean, that's the main diagnostic technique.
Yeah, but it's not because they're not available or because the ones we have up here are no good. It's because we have a social system, and unless it's an emergency, you know, you have to go on a waiting list. And if you don't want to wait, we don't have private clinics. We're fighting. As a matter of fact, they're building a giant hospital not far from where I live in Brampton here, and there's a strong segment of the population that's fighting it because it's going to be the first privatized hospital in one of the first in Ontario. And there was a whole contingent of politicians from England, I think, who privatized their hospitals maybe 15 years back or so, coming to tell us what a horrible idea it is. And to say that our health care is no good and we got to go to America to get health care, it's ridiculous. It's only people who can afford to get private plastic surgery or CAT scans, like not necessary CAT scans, but like say you want to get a checkup immediately and you don't want to wait on a waiting list, you pay and you go to the thing.
But my understanding, Mike, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Mike in Ontario, and this is what,
yeah, in Toronto.
Yeah, or Toronto, I'm sorry. My understanding is, and I get this from my friend Lewis, who's practicing medicine up there, is that if I have any indication, let's say that I can, you know, that there's some sense of a tumor or there's some blood test that indicates that I might have cancer or something, and there's any indication whatsoever that I should have a CAT scan tomorrow afternoon, I'll get it tomorrow afternoon.
Certainly. This is only for people who have, like I say, not immediate health risk. They're not at risk.
Well, we've got places like that here in the United
States. You go on to the waiting list, but if you can afford to, like, because we're fighting private clinics up here, too. People like the gentleman on the phone are trying to create a two-tier system in Canada, so where if you can afford to get the best treatment, then you can get the best treatment right away, and everybody else in the social system, you know.
Well, why shouldn't everybody, Mike, why shouldn't everybody get the best treatment?
Well, we do, but I'm saying that for certain times you have to wait for certain treatments, where we don't have 300 million people in Canada. And if you can afford to drive to Buffalo and get a private CAT scan done on your leisure, then that's what you do. Otherwise, if it's not an immediate necessity, then you have to go on the waiting list like everybody else. Yeah,
well, Tom, let me interject and say that if I were in Canada and I had to wait to get various scans, I'd be dead now.
I mean, people are going to die. They're not going to wait and die. We're not talking about people who need immediate care tomorrow to find out life or death.
Yeah,
we're talking about people who, you know, have ailments and, you know, need certain procedures, and there's a waiting list. Like, we don't, like I said, we're not a big country.
No, let me just clarify this, Mike. David, if your doctor had even the faintest inkling that you were developing leukemia, you'd be getting the CAT scan the next day.
Certainly.
Can you guarantee that, Tom?
Certainly, but there are people who do decide.
I'm telling you, that's how it works.
If there's a waiting list.
I decide I just want to go get a checkup tomorrow for whatever reason. You can't just go to the hospital and say, I need a CAT scan, give me one tomorrow. You know.
But that's what happens in the United States. When you're sick, you get, I mean, if you go into the emergency room, as I did very recently because I had a bacterial infection, I went into the emergency room and within minutes,
they were
performing a CAT scan.
How much did you pay for it? How much did you pay for it?
I didn't pay for it because I'm insured.
No, we all in the United States, Mike, I'm going to drop the call. I'm sorry because you're shouting over us. But here in the United States, we're all paying about $11,000 per person per year for it. That's what we're paying for it. In Canada, they're paying about $4,500 per year for it.
And they have waiting lists.
And they have waiting lists for non-emergency procedures. If there's any indication whatsoever that a person is sick and needs immediate care, they get it. I mean, bang, just like that. And similarly, you go to your doctor and say, hey, you know, maybe I should have a colonoscopy or an MRI or whatever, you know, because I'm a certain age or whatever. They say, fine, you know, you call them up and they say, we'll make an appointment 3 weeks from now. That's a waiting list.
It might be 3 months from now.
Well, yeah, it may well be.
It might be 6 months from now.
Well, you know, whatever. It depends on what it is you're trying to get. But, you know, if there's no indication that you're actually sick, if it's just a routine thing, what's wrong with that?
Well, I don't think that I want to be part of a healthcare system that has waiting lists on something like a CAT scan or an MRI.
Well, ideally, I don't think any of us would. And that's why I think that we can do it better than that. Kate in Buffalo, you're live with David Tebow.
Hey, hello.
Hey, Kate.
Hi, how are you? You know, my comment actually was similar to the last caller's. I live about 10 minutes from the border in Buffalo, and we do get Canadians that come across the border for healthcare treatments, and those treatments are elective treatments. A CAT scan and MRI, for example, I don't know, if I'm out playing baseball and I get, you know, hit in the head with a baseball, in Canada, I'm going to get my CAT scan because it's an emergency procedure. If I just think that, you know, I've had headaches for 3 weeks, they're going to try some other treatments before they give me that CAT scan. And our health care is rationed here just like it's rationed there. I don't see what the difference is.
Well, Kate, what if that headache is a tumor?
Well, I think that you would treat it other ways. I mean, my father...
If the doctor thinks it's a tumor, you'd get the CAT scan.
My father recently had a glioblastoma multiforme. He died from it 5 months after he was diagnosed. But when his first symptoms came in, he went into the hospital, and they thought he had a stroke. And we was being treated for a stroke for about 3 days. And then finally, you know, we went in and we did the MRI, and we found out that he had this hideous brain tumor. Either way, a lot of times you're still waiting, you know, you're waiting for treatment. So I really don't see what... This whole argument over, you know, Canadian health care and we have better health care. I mean, how long do you wait for an MRI or a CAT scan in this country when you don't have any money?
Yeah. Well, when you don't have any money, you wait. But yeah, that's a separate problem. I mean,
good point, Kate. Francis in Seattle, you're live with David Tebow.
Yes. I've been a physician since 1983 when I graduated from the University of Iowa. And I did pediatrics first, and then I went into psychiatry. And I am from a lower income family, so I went in to do public health, and
you need to turn off your radio, Francis.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. It's just across the room.
That's okay. we'll hang on for just a second here for Francis because it sounds interesting. Hopefully she'll be right back. There we go.
So I went to medical school to do public health, and I did community mental health until last year when I was unable to continue because I was working so many unpaid hours I was making myself sick. I mean, literally sick. But I first became aware of the difference between the American and the Canadian system during the time that Hillary Clinton was doing her healthcare initiative. And there, for 3 months, it was such a long series that they published it in over 3 months in Consumer Reports, which is, I think, a fairly unbiased magazine. They described why the outcome rate 5 and 10 years later, after why people were doing better with coronary artery blockage in Canada than in the U.S., despite the fact that they, quote, waited, unquote, for...
That probably has more to do with lifestyle than anything else.
No. Let me tell you the facts. The facts are, is that when you go into a Canadian hospital, when you get diagnosed with coronary artery blockage, say 40% blockage of your three of your four main arteries in the U.S., if you have the money, you get surgery, and it is the immediate response of a physician and a patient when they are just together making the decision to want to do as much as possible. In Canada at the same time, people didn't get immediate surgery, but everyone got treatment for one thing, which 33% of the people in the U.S. don't. But they got medication and intensive counseling to change their diet and exercise. And as later research has shown, you can pull cholesterol out of your coronary arteries. So
what happened is...
No, by changing your diet.
Changing your diet, yeah. Just.
Well, what if you've got blockages and you're about to have a heart attack?
No, listen to me. So if that doesn't work, if conservative treatment didn't work, you went to the top of the waiting list for heart surgery. Now, what they did is that 40% of the people that...
Francis, I'm sorry, we're out of time. We have to take a break.
Well, there are serious complications to surgery, including dementia.
Right. Okay. So the bottom line is that the Canadians are doing better as a consequence of that system.
Well, they're not, clearly. And I'll tell you, my best friend is alive today because he had immediate surgery after arterial blockages.
45 minutes past the hour.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? To heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car's stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
A new book says prehistoric people were not mighty hunters. In fact, they might have been the hunted instead. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. In the early 1900s, an anthropologist found fossilized human skulls in a cave in Africa, and they showed a lot of physical damage. Next to the skulls were leg bones of a prehistoric antelope. The scientists concluded that ancient people were a violent group and that they used bones and other weapons to kill animals and to kill each other. A new book says our human ancestors were not fighting each other. In fact, they needed to work together just to survive. Donna Hart helped write the book. She says it draws from another interpretation of human fossils by a different anthropologist.
He found a skull of a fossil hominid, and there were two dime-sized holes in the back of the skull. He also found some ancestral leopard fangs attached to a bottom jaw, and he found that those fit perfectly into these holes.
Some human skulls that are more than a million years old show marks that match with the teeth of animals like saber-toothed tigers and giant hyenas. Hart says our ancient ancestors might have been part of the regular diet for these big animals. She says that constant threat might have forced people to work together to help each other survive.
So instead of thinking of humans as descending from a line of very violent animals, we might be more accurate to think about the fact that we've had millions of years of history as very cooperative social mammals.
That's Donna Hart. She's an anthropologist at the University of Missouri in St. Louis and helped write the book Man the Hunted, Primates, Predators, and Human Evolution. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Homeowners, the Mortgage Center wants to help you today by offering you a choice when it comes to refinancing. At the Mortgage Center, you'll always have three banks competing for your business.
It's true. I made one phone call and was approved and instantly received three great offers to refinance my home.
Homeowners, cash in today. Get money for debt consolidation or home improvement. The Mortgage Center can and will help you, so call them right now.
I was dangerously in debt. My credit was in the low 500s, but with just one phone call, I was approved for their life-changing offers. And now I'm on my way to being debt-free.
Owe more than $75,000 on your home? Well, the Mortgage Center has the lowest rates in the industry. Poor credit? Not a problem. Call our hotline today to receive three free quotes.
It's that easy. The Mortgage Center helped me. They can help you, too.
Let the Mortgage Center help you. Call our 24-hour toll-free hotline now and have three banks competing for your business. Call 1-800-980-3175. That's 1-800-980-3175. 1-800-980-3175.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Open to everything happy and sad.
Welcome back. The place where progressives fiendishly plot for total world domination. Or at least clean elections, you know, we'd really settle for that. Barbara in Boston, Massachusetts, you are live with David Tebow of the Cybercast News Service, CNSNews.com.
Oh, yes. Hi, this is Barbara, and I had quite a story to tell about European medicine.
Can you do it very quickly, Barbara?
Sure.
We have a lot of calls, and we're getting way
too long. I had an emergency. I took an 18-kilometer drive in an ambulance to a hotel in hospital in Florence, where it was I was given the best of triage and sent immediately to the operating room for a checkup. And what they found was that I had gallbladder. I spent the night on observation, and they decided that I could have the operation at home when I came home from there. And I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
But I wanted to tell a story. When I went to pay for all this, the ambulance, the x-rays, the ultrasound, etc., they turned and looked at me and they said, "Madam, you're 72 years old. We in Italy take care of our elderly."
Hmm.
They didn't charge me one penny.
Okay. Barbara, thank you.
Well,
David?
That's a good story, Barbara. And they should have performed the surgery there. You know, you had to come home to get the surgery. And that tells you a lot, I think, about the difference between European healthcare and American healthcare. They thought, in their right mind, that you would be better treated in the United States, and that's why they advised you to get the surgery here.
Maybe they just thought that if you're going to have surgery, you'd rather do it at home.
Well, there's certainly that consideration,
but
it depends on how bad the situation was, right?
Yeah. Well, gallbladder disease is something. You know, my wife's grandmother had that for some time. Anyhow, Sandy in Chattanooga, Tennessee, you're live with David Tebow.
Yes, I'm calling about the MRI. They don't do MRIs all the time over here because they're very expensive. They're around $10,000 just for the brain and spine. A few years ago, my son had... Hello, are you there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're on.
Okay. When my son was four, we were referred to a neurologist, and the neurologist said, no, you don't need an MRI. You need to just get some speech therapy and have some, they thought it was autism. So we took him to more doctors, and they kept saying, no, you need an MRI. You need a genetics test. Well, finally, a year after that point, we had an MRI performed. They called us the next day and told us the results, and he needed brain surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And the MRI was $9,800. The radiologist read was $1,800. We've spent more on MRIs than we have on brain surgery, hospitalizations, and things. So they just don't do it that often, even if you request it.
Well, they have done it, in my case, not only often, but at their initiative. I mean, I've never had to ask for any of the MRIs or CAT scans that have been done to me. They have said, here's what you need. You
right,
need
because
it
you have insurance. But what about the other 46 million Americans? How, in you know, leaving this to the free market, how
right.
are they going to have access to the same kind of health care that you do, Dave?
Well, I think that I trust, I don't think, I know I trust state initiatives like the one in Massachusetts more than a federal plan devised by Washington bureaucrats and run by Washington bureaucrats as a one-size-fits-all approach that imposes price fixing and other government mandates and reduces incentive for research
you know,
and development.
Again, a single-payer system does not impose price fixing. It allows the government to negotiate for prices. You know, the government is now going and saying to Squibb, you know, we're going to buy 50 million tablets of penicillin this year.
Right.
What's your price on 50 million rather than, you know, right now, what's your price on 5 tablets?
To your point about basically expanding Medicare to involving everyone in the country, Tom,
right.
How many people are included in Medicare? About 45 million, right?
I don't have that.
I believe it's about 45 million. Well, that's about 15%. Of the entire population of the United States.
But I would argue that probably represents at least 50% of the risk pool.
It's possible because Medicare is primarily
primarily for the elderly and poor.
And otherwise, it's the disabled.
And if we were to insure everybody in the United States, I mean, the math has been done on this, David. We could if Medicare was available to every citizen in the United States, the average per person cost for health care using the existing health care system, even with the for-profit parts of it, where Bill Frist's daddy gets to be the, you know, the 20th richest man in America worth $3.5 billion. Purely because he sucked all that money out of the healthcare system, it would still only be about $4,500 a person. Right now, we're spending between $10,000 and $11,000.
Do you really believe that you would be able to insure every American?
Yeah. Every other industrialized country in the world has done it. It's not rocket science.
With all due respect, Tom, that's a naive viewpoint because there are people who can't help. There are, I don't know what the percentage is, and I don't know how many millions there are, but there are people in this country who you cannot help, despite your best efforts. And this is one of the things that liberals just won't understand.
Wait, you're talking about mentally ill people who don't show up in hospitals? Is that what you mean?
No, there are people who just don't, they can't put two and two together, Tom.
So?
I mean, there are people who you will not be able to help, no matter what you try.
Well, you know, then with a for-profit system or with a not-for-profit system, with a, Medicare for all or not, it doesn't matter. Those people are going to fall through the cracks. But I'm talking about 46 million Americans.
Well,
and I don't think all of them are.
46 million are people who you just can't help. They're important.
I think it's a very small fraction.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And the debate will continue. David Tebow, CNSNews.com. If you want some information on bone marrow transplants, by the way, go to TomHartmann.com. It's at the list of our things there. David, thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome, Tom.
Good talking
with
you. Good luck in your ongoing hospitalization.
Thanks very much.
Good luck. 56 minutes past the hour is the Tom Hartmann radio program, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not some right-wing think tank. We'll be back with your calls. And let's see, Congressman Jim McDermott, actually, after the news at the top of the hour, and then we'll be going back to your calls in the news of the day. A lot going on in the world. 57 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartmann Program. Check our website at www.tomhartmann.com for archives of this program and more information.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, by Tom Hartmann, Air America host Tom Hartmann shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartmann shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartmann.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartmann. Available in all fine bookstores now.
Attention! If you do not have health insurance, have limited health insurance, or are uninsurable and are worried about the cost of health care, this announcement is for you. For less than $2 a day, your entire family can save thousands of dollars on all medical expenses thanks to Synergy Health. With more than 600,000 providers around the country, Synergy Health can save you up to 60% on doctors, hospitals, hearing, vision, prescriptions, and even dental care. Plus, you'll get great savings on chiropractic, alternate medicine, and much more. And here's the best part. Synergy Health offers guaranteed acceptance to everyone, no matter what your health history or income, at the same low price. Call our 800 number and learn how Synergy Health is helping families like yours for less than $2 a day. There is no obligation, and the information is free.
Call 1-800-933-2596 for free information. That's 1-800-933-2596. There's absolutely no obligation.
Air America Radio News. I'm Emily Hoffman. News brought to you by the SEIU, Service Employees International Union, the fastest growing union in North America, at SEIU.org. Iraq in chaos today. Shiite militiamen doused six Sunni Arabs with kerosene and burned them alive as Iraqi soldiers stood by. And in another incident, the militiamen killed 19 other Sunnis in attacks on their mosques. Both attacks are seen as revenge for the slaughter of at least 215 Shiites in the Sadr city slum yesterday. Desperate to avert a civil war, the government has imposed a sweeping curfew on the capital, shut down the international airport, and closed the country's main outlet to the shipping lanes in the Persian Gulf. The bloodshed underlines the impotence of the Iraqi army at a time when the U.S. appears to be considering a move to accelerate the handover of security responsibilities. Meanwhile, the White House says that George Bush will stick to his plan to meet with the Iraqi prime minister in Jordan. This despite the spiraling violence and a threat by Shiites to quit the Iraqi government. At the UN, the Secretary General is urging restraint after what he calls a heinous ramp-up in violence there. And here's another statistic of America at war, 16,000. That's the number of single mothers who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, a number that military experts say is unprecedented. A total of 155,000 women have served in both conflicts. A rare radioactive substance poisoned a former Russian spy in London. In a dramatic statement before he died, Alexander Litvinenko called Russian President Vladimir Putin barbaric and ruthless and blamed him personally for the attack. Putin is denying that. Environmental groups are still angry over an assertion made before the Supreme Court a month ago during arguments in a far-reaching clean air lawsuit. They say the claim by prominent Washington lawyer Carter Phillips that the federal government, had changed course in regulating emissions from coal-fired power plants is simply not true, and a paper trail of the industry's own documents will prove it. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Emily Hoffman.
News sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice. Only the finest jasmine rice is good enough to become Mahatma or Carolina jasmine rice. It's a gourmet treat you'll love. Try Mahatma or Carolina jasmine rice tonight.
Is mom okay? How often does that question run through your mind? If your mom is living alone and not as agile as she used to be, or if she fell, would she be okay? That question may nag you a dozen times every day. Lifeline Medical Alert Service is the answer to that nagging question. Lifeline is there for her and you 24 hours a day, every day. A push of a button and help is on the way. That's why Lifeline is the trusted medical alert service caring for over 500,000 people like your mom every day. Lifeline lets mom live in the home she loves and still have help available 24 hours a day, every day with just the push of a button. For your free information package, call 800-566-6208 because your mom or dad deserves Lifeline, and you deserve the peace of mind. Call 800-566-6208 today. That's 800-566-6208. Call Lifeline now.
The winter season is here. Are you confident that your old heating system is going to last? Well, Sears has the new heating and cooling system you've been looking for. You can start enjoying comfort this winter season with a new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust. With unbeatable pricing, year-round maintenance and repair, plus our satisfaction guarantee, it's time you called Sears at 1-800-269-2300 for a free at-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. A new, more efficient system can keep your family comfortable year-round and may help you save money on high energy costs. Count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you've come to expect for over 100 years. Call now for your free at-home consultation. Offer range 127-07, subject to applicant creditworthiness. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. Licensee information available upon request. Energy efficiency may vary depending on your home and climate. Call now for your new heating and cooling system from Sears and ask about our special financing terms. Call 1-800-269-2300. That's 1-800-269-2300.
If you think it's too late in life to earn the college degree you want, then listen to this. Now you can go to a university designed for busy working adults. It's University of Phoenix, the nation's largest accredited private university. In most cases, you can earn a bachelor's or a master's degree in just 2 to 3 years. To find out how, call 1-866-431-3600. At over 170 University of Phoenix campuses, the small classroom settings are designed for working adults with busy lives. With their efficient learning model, you'll cover more material in less time, going to convenient classes in the evening or on the weekend. At University of Phoenix, you can do this. For a complimentary brochure on degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more, call University of Phoenix now. 1-866-431-3600. Offer not valid in Tennessee. Programs vary by campus. Classes are forming, so call now. 1-866-431-3600. That's 1-866-431-3600.
Premature babies need hope, love, and you. Premature birth is the leading cause of newborn death and many serious health problems. It happens to 1 out of 8 babies in the U.S. You can help premature babies by joining March of Dimes Walk America and raising money to support research and programs to find out how to prevent premature birth and how to help families who experience it. Register today. Get your sponsor form at Kmart or Famous Footwear or visit walkamerica.org or call 1-800-525-WALK.
Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
Two of the most thought-provoking guests, two of the most challenging.
So what are we doing with all these
immigrants?
Because in the United States,
folks like my grandparents
to talk about
immigrated here on my father's side in Norway in 1917. My mother's family immigrated here in the 1600s. I mean, what are we doing with all these immigrants? Or are we talking about those immigrants that Pat Buchanan's talking about? Are those, oh my goodness, brown people coming from the south?
Now,
is that what we, what's
welcome back
what's
to the best of
Michelle
the
Worker
Show?
She's a senior fellow at the World Policy Institute at the New School
of Psychology at Georgetown
lectures
University.
Frequently about immigration,
terrorism,
international economics,
he's also
and
the author of From the Terrorist Point of View: What They Experienced.
He's also the author of
Why
the Cox Fight Dominicans, Haitians, and
Struggle
for
October.
And she has a new book out. It's called Blackout: Why America Keeps Getting Immigration Wrong.
Bill O'Reilly going like, "Hey, why do we have to understand? And that's just condoning what they do."
Thanks for having me.
Looking through your book, Michelle, first of all, I get the sense that
one viewpoint, but I explain
that you're embracing immigration as a net positive. In fact, you talk several times in the book about how we actually need more immigrants because we're not getting enough highly educated people into this country.
Terrorism is to first understand terrorism and understand
over the stereotypical immigrant, the strawberry picker, the busboy, the day laborer, and that completely forgets about the high-skilled people who we depend on even more. For example, 50% of the research and development workers are foreign-born, and they are having a nightmare of a time getting into this country, partly because of just bureaucratic bungling, but partly because our system doesn't provide enough visas for them to get in.
Yeah, my sister-in-law is 2 years right now into the process of becoming a U.S. citizen. It's going to take her probably 5 or 6 years, and I'm real familiar with how clunky the system is. But doesn't, you know, the fact that we're having to import highly skilled people, doesn't that mean that really we should be having a national discussion about let's do what the majority of other fully industrialized countries do around the world, and that is offer free education all the way up to the level of a PhD, rather than making education something that you either have to become an indentured slave for, you graduate from college, you know, $100,000 in debt, or you have to have wealthy parents for?
Well, I think trying to push through getting something all the way up through to the PhD would probably be very hard politically, but our problem starts really at the grade school through secondary school level. We're not inspiring people at those levels to go beyond.
Sure.
And to, particularly in science and engineering, which is where the majority of job growth is going to be coming in the future, we are letting down Americans, and it's actually our failure domestically that is contributing to so much angst over immigration.
Well, that's my concern, is that if we say, okay, we need more engineers, we need more, you know, physicians, whatever. If there's a consensus about that, if we can demonstrate that, and I think you demonstrate that fairly well in your book, and just kind of common sense indicates that if you look around, then aren't we just putting a Band-Aid on cancer by saying, okay, let's make immigration more efficient and bring more of these folks in from other countries, instead of saying, let's remedy the structural deficiencies in the United States that are causing that problem?
Well, we need to do both, as it says in my book. And solving the problem for the Americans just going to school now isn't going to solve things for, you know, 15, 20 years till they get through the education system. But even as we increase the number of Americans, hopefully, who are qualified and interested in these jobs, we also have to think of ourselves like, for example, a sports team. You know, I went to Rice in Houston, a very small school that could, you know, draw from a much smaller pool of athletes, as opposed to some of the bigger schools in what was then the Southwest Conference, who had many, many more people to pick from. So they had, just by the numbers game, much higher number of really talented football players. So we, of course, lost all the time. You think about the United States being 300 million people. That's not very many compared to how many people in the world. So just by the numbers game, we're actually producing a very small percentage of the best and brightest here. So it benefits us and other countries to bring the really, really talented people from the rest of the world here. You know, a lot of the Nobel Prize winners in this country have actually been foreign-born, who've naturalized, sure, as Americans. So we need to play the numbers game to get the best of the whole world, not just from our small percentage of the entire world population.
Although a lot of those Nobel Prize winners came here in the 30s and 40s, fleeing war in Europe. I mean, you know, there's multiple factors here. But,
yeah.
But what about the strawberry pickers? I mean, that's, you talk about immigration, and really what was 20, 30 years ago, the strawberry pickers are now the people who are building our houses, who are working in our restaurants, who are you know, working in the meat packing plants, who are taking jobs, occupying positions that traditionally were, in many cases, good union jobs that you could raise a family and put your kids through school with, that are now minimum wage jobs, apparently because there's a surplus of what, you know, Lou Dobbs would refer to as illegal alien labor.
Well, it's actually a paradox, is that when you bring people here, or when you invite them to come illegally, say, yeah, we got a law, but nobody really pays attention to it, which is the situation we have now.
Right. We've had since the 80s, Reagan's amnesty in 86.
Exactly. And that law would never have been passed if anyone expected it to be enforced. It's a Swiss cheese law.
Yeah.
So when people come here under this deliberately created shadow world, that makes them even more vulnerable. So you hear a lot of, well, we need to, you know, shut the doors, make it harder for people to come legally to protect U.S. jobs. But, you know, ironically, that actually makes the problem worse. Because when you have someone who can't stick up for, you know, back pay or overtime or getting paid at all, you know, I hear a lot of cases where someone works for 3 weeks and they say, hey, where's my paycheck? And the owner of the restaurant or whatever says, oh, you're illegal, I don't have to pay you.
Right.
That's what tilts the playing field away from the U.S. worker even more.
Sure. So the bottom line here then would be the idea of building a fence is nuts. Instead, what we should be doing is throwing some employers in prison.
Well, the problem with that is that right now there's not a legal system that allows anybody to follow it. There are the bad apple employers, the ones who use undocumented immigrants to use abusive labor practices, but there are also a lot of employers who would follow the law if there were a way to, but right now it's very hard to find out who has the permission to work or not.
Well, AMC Theaters is doing a really good job of this. They've gotten a lot of publicity for it. They simply, you know, they hire people just in the normal hiring process like anybody else does, and then they submit the Social Security numbers to the Social Security office. It takes about 3 weeks, and if the Social Security office comes back and says the Social Security number and the name, address, etc. information that you provided don't match, then they go to the employee and say, you have 1 week to prove to us that you're actually who you say you are and you actually have the Social Security number. And you know, very often people don't, and they simply leave their employee.
Well, that's part of the solution, is coming up with a more reliable system that all employers could use for that. And that's something we definitely need to do. If you really enforce at the workplace, that's how you really affect the supply and demand and whether people think they can come here to get a job. But the other half of that is that there really aren't nearly enough visas to allow employers to get the number of people to match the people working here to the people who can come illegally.
But Michelle, as long as we have, you know, vast chunks of this country where people are underemployed and unemployed, as long as we have ghettos in America, as long as we have poor in America, isn't that a statement? I mean, going back to the David Ricardo's 1814 on labor treatise, isn't that a statement that there is there's an oversupply of labor in the workplace and it's driving down the price of labor, and therefore we shouldn't be encouraging immigration?
Well, if you look at some of the job creation numbers, a very large number of the new jobs have been filled by immigrants, which suggests economically that when immigrants come, they create jobs as well. They are also competing with U.S. workers, but it's not one person gets one job and somebody else automatically loses it. The whole pie is getting bigger. As far as U.S. workers, there is absolutely no doubt that we are failing Americans. We're not providing the sort of education that allows people to get better jobs. We shouldn't be saying, you know, it's for patronizing to say, oh, well, you know, we should make sure and reserve some of the strawberry pickers and busboy jobs for Americans. We're saying, well, why are those the jobs that we're trying to encourage Americans to take? We should be educating Americans so they can get the better jobs. So
there may be some Americans who just like, you know, who it's fine for them to work in the fields all their lives.
But that's a small group, and I think they also don't want to compete with someone who employers know that they can abuse. Do you want an employer who's going to stick up for their rights or someone who can't? That's a big part of the problem for American workers.
Michelle Wooker, the book is Lockout, Why America Keeps Getting Immigration Wrong When Our Prosperity Depends on Getting It Right. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
16 minutes past the hour.
It's the Jack Shack Attack. Radio not for the faint of heart.
The Jackster's in, and I am so you can tell those censors to off a flying.
Radio may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floor Mate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1707.
Sharper details, more vibrant colors. Discover what your digital camera's megapixels are really capable of. Upgrade to an ultra-high-definition photo printer, only from Epson, with new Claria high-definition ink to maximize the color, clarity, and microscopic details of your photographs. The new Epson ultra-high-definition photo printers, priced from $129 to $199. To learn more, visit Epson.com.
At last, the national government is responding to the widening gap and the severe economic side effects of greed-fueled globalization by extending real power to labor unions and cracking down on sweatshop goods. Unfortunately, this national government is not our own. It's China's. Yes, the Chinese rulers, who have a brutal record of repressing labor, have suddenly embraced a new doctrine of protecting worker rights. This is not altruism at work, but self-preservation. The ruling elites are in a sweat over massive social unrest there. So they've proposed a new law to empower formerly toothless labor unions to negotiate on wages, safety protections, and workplace rules. Now, guess who is howling in protest? Dell, Ford, GE, Microsoft, Nike, and other brand-name corporate giants that have been abandoning U.S. workers and communities for Chinese sweatshops. They have profited for years on the backs of China's impoverished workers, hiding behind the doctrinaire hokum that globalized sweatshops will somehow, sometime, raise the living standards of those workers. As the surge of Chinese social unrest indicates, however, workers are no longer swallowing the hokum, and the time for pushback is now. Expatriate U.S. corporations are lobbying ferociously to get China's government to drop its labor reforms, wailing that the new laws amount to socialism. Socialism in a communist country? Imagine. Well, say the Dells and Nikes, these rules would make it more difficult for them to fire workers. Well, duh, yes. The corporations might ask their former American workers, and that seems unfair. This is Jim Hightower saying, what must the Chinese people think? Just as they might get a small break, here comes the U.S. of A., represented by these greed-headed corporations, stomping on their dreams.
Who elected Dell, Nike, and the rest to do this in our names?
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder, millions of jobs are being exported, and now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout, America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect the workers' right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Winding up somewhere, one step ahead or behind. It ain't been so easy, but I guess I shouldn't complain. I've always been crazy, it's kept me from going insane.
And welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 21 minutes past the hour, fair and slightly unbalanced. And listener-supported, supported by you, our listeners, supporting our sponsors, like Sacred Grounds Coffee, saving the planet one cup at a time, sacredgroundscoffee.com, and 1-800-425-2532. Small Dog Electronics, get the latest iPods now, 1-800-511-MAX, and smalldog.com, their website. Our phone number, 1-866-440-8466, 440-THOM, and tomhartman.com, our website, if you'd like to drop by our live chat room and participate. I just this whole immigration issue. The thing that is so often, frankly, in my mind, both by liberals and conservatives, is so often overlooked is the fundamental reality that there is a relationship between the cost of labor and the supply of labor. There's a reason why Cesar Chavez and Walter Mondale marched back in the 1960s, as I recall. I think it was 1967. I'd have to go back and look. It might have been the 1970s. But anyhow, way back when, marched from Central California down to the Mexican border against illegal immigration into the United States. And it was because Chavez at that time was concerned, and many folks in the Farm Workers Union were concerned, that the supply of labor was increasing. You go back in history, look at the progressive and populist movements of the late 1800s. The railroads were importing large numbers of people from China, actually, from Asia, by and large, mostly China, to work on the railroad. Why? To break strikes, to drive down the cost of labor, because if you increase the supply of labor beyond demand, then the cost of labor will drop to what David Ricardo referred to as a subsistence level. David Ricardo laid this whole thing out in a booklet called On Labor in 1814, and it still stands as the seminal piece, the seminal article on this issue. And the game that's been being played by conservatives in business, by and large, by business interests in this country, is let's drive up the amount of labor available so we can drive down the cost of labor so we can increase profits. The other point that David Ricardo made in 1814 was that labor, if you reduce the cost of labor, you will not reduce the cost of the product. See, this is the great myth that, like, Walmart is out there perpetrating. Oh, yeah, we've got to pay our people lousy wages so that you can get cheap junk at Walmart. And people actually believe that. The reality, as Ricardo pointed out, is that the price of something in the marketplace has nothing to do with labor cost. I mean, there actually is a relationship, but it's not a strong relationship. It's a weak relationship. The price of something in the marketplace has to do with the competitive marketplace. It has to do with what the marketplace will bear. So, you know, when Nike starts making shoes in China instead of in the United States, I don't think they ever were making them in the United States, but let's say that they were, and the price
to them of the labor to make those shoes goes down, are they going to reduce the cost of their shoes? No. They're going to continue to raise them until they start hitting price resistance. So if the cost of labor going down doesn't reduce the cost of the product, what does it do? Well, in 1816, David Ricardo wrote another piece called On Profits, in which he pointed out that if you reduce the cost of labor, you will increase profits. You don't reduce product cost, you increase profits. And that's what it's all about. It's all about making millionaires into billionaires, making billionaires into multi-billionaires. And in the process, who gets screwed? The American middle class. It's just that simple. It's just that straightforward. So, you know, as I said, to say that, well, all we have to do is put up a fence and stop people from coming into the United States. I'm sorry, for 150 years, we had no fence. And we had no problem. Because in large part, labor unions, particularly throughout the golden age of the American middle class from the 1930s to the 1980s, because labor unions were the first line of defense, as it were. They were saying no. Now, it's weird. You know, in the year 2000, 2001, a lot of the labor unions in the United States sort of flipped and started saying, okay, let's embrace immigration from south of the United States. And it was, frankly, a rather gratuitous, oh, boy, more members. And you got to keep in mind that Ronald Reagan declared war on labor in the United States. Ronald Reagan declared war on organized labor in the United States, on the middle class. And when Reagan came into power, 25% of the American workforce was unionized. And now it's about the private workforce, it's about 7.5-8%. I mean, there has been this aggressive war on labor, and it's been largely successful. And the Republicans are like gung-ho about it because it's a great way to defund the Democratic Party, because organized labor has traditionally been, you know, a friend of the Democratic Party. So the labor unions are under siege. You can understand why they'd say, hey, you know, let's organize the people who are, you know, cleaning the hotels, for example. Well, so they're not legal citizens. Still, they can be members. We need members. I understand that. I'm critical of it, but I understand it. I can at least understand that. But the idea of the corporations saying, oh, we're going to encourage people to come into this country so that we can hire them and basically exploit them. You know, pay them lousy wages and threaten them with exposure to the INS if they complain. It's just plain old flat out wrong. And if we stop the employers from doing that, we don't need a fence. You don't need, because, you know, people aren't going to come over if there's no opportunity for a job. What are they? They're crazy? They're not. 27 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide non-insurance medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of your current health condition. As a member, you'll save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest health care networks in the country. To sign up or learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your health care every year, call for your free brochure. 1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036. Or you can visit Qualified Health on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Healthcare membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today. 1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
I was lucky enough to find out about Laurel Langmire. Since then, I own 16 investment properties. I have a C-Corp, an S-Corp. I have 6 LLCs.
Free yourself from the daily grind of your 9-to-5 job.
I experienced it in the first 4 months. I walked away with almost $300,000.
Laurel Langmire has personally coached hundreds of entrepreneurs into financial freedom.
Laurel and her team blew me away, and I went, I got to work with this lady.
Laurel teaches you how to live in a wealth cycle and stay there. A master of customized one-on-one guidance, Laurel Langmire can place you on the road to financial independence.
Hi, I'm Laurel Langmire. Creating wealth is not as difficult as you may think.
If you're ready to turn your financial dreams into reality, then I want you to have my Extreme Money Makeover CD for free.
Call now for this limited-time special offer. Get Laurel's Money Makeover CD and her best-selling book, The Millionaire Maker. Both the book and the CD for free. You only pay a small shipping and handling fee. Call 800-508-6820. 800-508-6820.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. After 5 weeks on picket lines, janitors in Houston spent Tuesday celebrating. Jesse Russell has more.
Chants of Yes We Can changed to Yes We Did Monday for Houston's striking janitors. They approved a historic contract giving them a raise of 26% over the next 3 years, an increase in hours and benefits. But most importantly, as noted by Flor Aguilar, they won respect.
But today, you can stand up and raise your head.
Support is growing in big cities to legally require that workers get paid sick days. San Francisco voters passed a ballot initiative that gives up to 9 days of paid sick leave a year to full-time workers. A survey of public opinion in New York City shows 70% support for making paid sick leave available for all workers. That survey, conducted by Lake Research Partners for the Community Service Society, shows that 65% of New York City's working poor have no paid sick leave. Deborah Ness, president of the National Partnership for Women and Families, says nearly half of private sector workers have no paid sick days. She says low-wage workers are hit the hardest by having to lose pay when they're sick. Goodyear tires being produced by scab labor could be unsafe at any speed. The United Steelworkers Union is on strike against Goodyear in defense of retiree health benefits and to keep all the plants open. The union recently launched an ad that raises safety questions about Goodyear tires being produced during the strike.
When a major tire company used replacement workers during a strike, it led to labor strife and defective tires that helped create the Ford Explorer rollover disaster, a disaster linked by the federal government to 271 fatalities. Now Goodyear is using replacement workers to build its tires. What tires do you plan to buy?
It's official. With all votes in, Jim Hoffa has beat Tom Leadham 65-35% for another 5 years as Teamsters general president. Hoffa had claimed victory over the weekend as the votes were being counted. Leadham congratulated the Hoffa slate on their victory and wished them success as they take on the responsibility of rebuilding Teamster power.
Here is today's economic report. The White House has finally joined the chorus of economists suggesting that the economy is slowing. The President's Council of Economic Advisers now projects the gross domestic product will only grow by 3.1% in all of 2006. And in 2007, the economy will only expand by 2.9%. The primary strain on the economy is the housing sector, which plunged nearly 15% in October.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, president and founder of the Organic One Company. When our ads run on your program, Tom, our phone rings off the hook. So I encourage anyone to advertise, either locally or nationally, on your show, the Tom Hartman Program. Your listeners are clearly what's called in the industry our target audience. By the way, did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed crops there is? You see, the fundamental idea behind organic wine is that making wine with grapes grown without pesticides, herbicides, or chemical fertilizers is clearly better for our planet and, therefore, in all likelihood, better for you, the wine drinker. So for more information and to support ecologically healthy agriculture, please visit our site, www.ecowine.com, or call us. We always love to talk with Tom's listeners. 1-888-ECHO-WINE is our number.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
And how about serving peace in the world? How about serving democracy? Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman radio program, The True People's Radio. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. And Kenny in Baltimore, Maryland, the note here says you disagree with me, so you go to the front of the line. Kenny, what's up?
Oh, I disagree with you on the border fence. I'm kind of like on that line with Lou Dove there. I mean, I don't mind, you know, giving people the amnesty that's here already. I mean, we're not going to deport all these people, and we shouldn't, because I believe they, you know, my man trying to feed his family going to do what he have to do. My thing is, before you even get along them lines, I think you should have to shut down the border. Find out who is here, make them all legal, document them so we know who is here, and make everybody else have to come in through the front door. I mean, enough is enough.
But we did that before, Kenny. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't put up a fence before, but we went through this whole process of saying, okay, everybody, you know, you're home free. In 1986, we declared an amnesty. And what has happened since then? Another 20 million people have showed up, or 10 or 15, whatever the number is. Nobody knows for sure. It doesn't work, number one. And number two, a fence is not going to work. People are, you know, you build a 15-foot fence, people are going to discover 16-foot ladders.
Well, when I say fence, I don't mean like a physical fence. I mean like, hey, put the military base down there. I don't care.
What, shoot people as they're trying to come across?
Huh?
I mean, this, don't you get it that people only cross into this country because there's something here for them? And if you take that away, if you say, sorry, when you get here, there's no job for you, they will not come. Instead, they'll stay in Mexico and other countries south of us and actually start taking back their own countries and demanding democracy in their own countries. I would submit to you, Kenny, that one of the reasons why Mexico is still ruled by a corrupt oligarchy is because we've been their escape valve.
Yeah,
and I don't think it's good for Mexico. I don't think it's good for us. And as long as you've got millions of people, you know, you have 46 million people in the United States who are so underemployed that they don't even have health insurance, then we obviously have a surplus of labor in this country.
Well, my thing is, Tom, it seems like we keep making excuses for every road that we go down on. I mean, the employer is saying, well, we can't do it because we have no way to verify them. You know,
which is nonsense.
It just keeps going over and over.
It all goes to one place right here, and that is corporations, and they're by and large Republican, although some Democratic as well. A corporate support group saying, it's fine with us to screw the middle class. We can do it that way. Yeah, fine. And I'm saying every country. I mean, you know, Mexico has very strict limits on who can come into that country, who can come into Mexico, and who can become a citizen. It's very difficult to emigrate into Mexico, particularly if you're coming from the south. Every country has a border, and they have limits on immigration for the simple reason that countries want to be able to regulate the cost and supply of labor within their countries. And it's a good and healthy thing, frankly, in my opinion. This has nothing to do with disliking any particular nationality or race or religion or anything else. Like I said, my sister-in-law is an immigrant from Asia. My parents were immigrants from Europe. My father's parents, English was not their first language. Well, for that matter, English wasn't my first language. But in any case,
I have one question for you before I let you go there, because I am an immigrant too. But one question. If Hillary win an election in 08, can she elect Bill Clinton to be vice president? Is that possible? Is that legal?
No, it's not. But it's an idea. It's an idea. Kenny, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. 1-866-440-8466. Jeff in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, WPTT. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Tom, I'm a Democrat. I voted for the Democrats here in Pennsylvania, and I'm very glad that Nancy Pelosi is now going to be the Speaker of the House. But I'll tell you what, I do not agree with you on this mentality that a fence does not work. If fences don't work, how come every penitentiary in the United States has a wall around it?
Well, I'll tell you, Kenny, in 86 and 87, I lived in Germany for a year, and part of that time I lived where my backyard, literally my backyard, was the East German Wall. The fence between East and West Germany, and in fact we used to go out and drive along the road, walk along the road, and in the spring when the snow would melt and the sun would come up in the morning and start thawing the ground, the landmines would explode. I mean, that would wake us up in the morning, right, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning in the spring, they had two fences that were about 20-25 feet tall with barbed wire at the top, and there was this maybe 15-20 foot wide sand thing in the middle so that they could see if there were tracks. And then there was every, I don't know, 300-400 yards, something like that, there were these giant concrete towers with 2-3 guys up in there with machine guns. And for sport, I mean, we would walk along and take pictures of the guy pointing their guns at us. Okay. Is that the kind of country that we want to become, Jeff?
What does that have to do with our Mexican border?
Well, that's the only kind of wall that will effectively keep people out.
No, you don't need landmines, Tom. I know, I've heard you talk before about you'd hear the landmines detonate in the spring and life wasn't worth living anymore. I'll tell you what, you are spewing defeatist mentality language.
No, what I'm saying, Jeff,
is... You are going to save the United States of Mexico with this defeatist
mentality. What I'm saying, Jeff, is if you start throwing employers in jail for hiring people who are not citizens, then people who are not citizens will stop coming into this country. We had an open border with Mexico for 140 years, and we didn't have an invasion of Mexican because people couldn't get jobs if they came here.
What about the ones that want to be entrepreneurs? What about the ones that want to be drug dealers and pimps and prostitutes and gun runners? Whose boss are you going to throw in jail then when they're self-employed?
Well, you obviously arrest and deport those people.
This is good.
But that's not the vast majority of people. That's a very small minority. I mean, those are the people that the Minutemen and the racists and the freakouts on the right are talking about. But I'm telling you, that's a very tiny minority.
You got guys like me who vote Democrat, who want those people out of this country.
I want them out of the country, Jeff.
What?
I want them out of the country, too.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Jeff,
not at all.
Jeff, no wall is going to stop somebody who is intent on bringing drugs into this country. It's not, you know, it's not going to work.
Okay, let me explain something to you. A wall is like a dam. Every concrete dam built leaks. But you can live with a leak, but you cannot deal with a dam collapse, a dam burst. And what we have right now is a dam burst. We do not have a leaking dam. You're right. Will the three-level fence work 100%? No. But will it turn what is a flood into a leak? Yes.
Jeff, why is Canada not worried about immigrants coming from America?
Because they have a buffer zone called the United States of America.
No. There's a lot of Americans on the northern border who would love to go to Canada and get free health care and get a good job. There's a lot of Americans who would love to move into Canada. And you've got a lot of immigrants from Central and South America living in northern border states who would love to go into Canada and get free health care and free jobs. But the fact of the matter is, in Canada, you have to, because my son's going through this right now, you have to jump through 16 levels of hell to prove that you're in that country legally in order to get a job.
And that's the way it should be.
That's what I'm saying. And when you do that, you don't need a fence, just like Canada doesn't need a fence.
You know what you keep talking about? If you build a 15-foot wall, they'll invent the 16-foot ladder.
Well, it's a cute cliche.
Have you ever heard of the double and the triple-layer fence? You need a fence. You need a ladder to get over the first wall. Then you need another ladder to get over the second wall. Then you need a third ladder to get over the third
wall. Halliburton is going to be laughing all the way to the bank, Jeff,
the US
as they're
Army
making
Corps
this fence.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will be building this wall, Tom, not Halliburton. Dick Cheney's not going to be standing down there with binoculars building the fence. It will be done by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the same guys that are building the levees in New Orleans.
Okay, so we get the wall down there, and then George Bush says, okay, under this new Military Commissions Act and the latest military defense budget, we've gotten rid of Posse Comitatus, and now as of starting on January 17th, you have to have permission of the Department of Homeland Security to leave the United States. Suddenly we have a fence on our southern border, so you and I can't get out if we want.
What, you want to go into Mexico illegally?
I'm just
fence deterring you from illegally entering Mexico, Mr. Harrison?
It's a rhetorical point, Jeff. You don't get it.
In other words, a question that doesn't deserve an answer, right?
My point, Jeff, is that the building a fence, we have a real problem here because business is abusing the system, because politicians have done this wink, wink, nod, nod thing because it's profitable for the meat packers and for the housing industry, the building industry, and the agricultural industries, and it's wrong. People are dying in the desert. People are...
Tom,
people are
what, You know why they're coming up here and they never came up here before? Before, their country was not grotesquely overpopulated.
Not true.
Baloney.
The poverty level in Mexico, more than 50% of Mexico lived below the poverty level in 1950. And more than 50% of Mexico lives below the poverty level right now. As a percentage of its population, the level of poverty in Mexico is essentially unchanged over the last 60 years.
I'm not talking about the level of poverty. I'm talking about the number of people. They do not have enough land for their vast population. So they look to, they wouldn't even refer it as the United States of America.
Yeah,
it is El Norte.
I'm sorry, Jeff. You're getting into the brown hordes thing, and it's just,
hey, Tom,
it ain't happening.
Has it ever occurred to you there might be some reality to the brown horde theory?
But there isn't. I can tell you, I've been down there. I worked in South America. I worked in Colombia. I've worked in Ecuador. This is not. Yes, there is a problem, particularly with the Catholic Church fighting against birth control in those countries. There is a population problem, and the solution to the population problem, frankly, is to build a middle class. Because when you have women who have equal rights with men, and particularly economic rights, population starts to decline. This has nothing to do with whether or not there's a fence.
Well, then that is a problem that those nations are going to have to cure internally.
And when we stop employing their people, they can cure them. Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. We got to wrap it up here in this segment. We'll get back to the rest of your calls in just a minute. 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, telling the truth that the multinational corporations, well, they'd really rather you didn't know about. We'll be right back.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, or maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? To heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
A new book says prehistoric people were not mighty hunters. In fact, they might have been the hunted instead. I'm Richard Hopes for Earthwatch Radio. In the early 1900s, an anthropologist found fossilized human skulls in a cave in Africa, and they showed a lot of physical damage. Next to the skulls were leg bones of a prehistoric antelope. The scientists concluded that ancient people were a violent group and that they used bones and other weapons to kill animals and to kill each other. A new book says our human ancestors were not fighting each other. In fact, they needed to work together just to survive. Donna Hart helped write the book. She says it draws from another interpretation of human fossils by a different anthropologist.
He found a skull of a fossil hominid, and there were two dime-sized holes in the back of the skull. He also found some ancestral leopard fangs attached to a bottom jaw, and he found that those fit perfectly into these holes.
Some human skulls that are more than a million years old show marks that match with the teeth of animals like saber-toothed tigers and giant hyenas. Hart says our ancient ancestors might have been part of the regular diet for these big animals. She says that constant threat might have forced people to work together to help each other survive.
So instead of thinking of humans as descending from a line of very violent animals, we might be more accurate to think about the fact that we've had millions of years of history as very cooperative social mammals.
That's Donna Hart. She's an anthropologist at the University of Missouri in St. Louis and helped write the book Man the Hunted, Primates, Predators, and Human Evolution. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
You be the judge.
New FlexoFactor helps promote joint strength, flexibility, lubrication, range of motion, and even the renewal of cartilage from your hands and knees to your hips and elbows. And we'll prove it by letting you try it free. A $30 bottle, free. FlexoFactor is a new all-natural joint support supplement that combines five specific joint-supporting ingredients in one exclusive formula. FlexoFactor helps cushion, lubricate, and strengthen joints and cartilage over time. It's perfect for seniors, weekend athletes, anyone who depends on healthy joints for an active lifestyle. But don't take our word for it. You be the judge. Call now and try a free bottle of FlexoFactor, a $30 value. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover shipping and handling. FlexoFactor. We know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Call 1-800-364-9974. That's 1-800-364-9974. Limit one bottle per household. Call 1-800-364-9974.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Young man sitting on the witness stand. The man with the book says, raise your hand. Repeat after me, I solemnly swear. The man looked down at his long hair. And although the young man solemnly swore, nobody seemed to hear anymore. And it didn't really matter if the truth was there. It was the cut of his clothes and the length of his hair. And the lonely voice of youth cries, what is true?
And welcome back to the radio support group of, by, and for We the People of the United States of America. Coming up on 9 minutes before the hour, 1-866-440-8466. Our telephone number, Charles in Maryville, Washington. Hey, Charles.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. What's
well,
up?
Well, my call, I guess, is a reminder in particular for folks like that last caller who almost sounded like he wanted to be congratulated or praised because he happened to vote Democratic. But he's still kind of drunk on the Kool-Aid of fear that's been running our country for several years. And I just think that we should all be reminded in America that every one of us are immigrants. Some of us are separated by 10,000 years, but we're all immigrants to this part of the world.
Yeah.
And the villains are really not the employees and the workers who are trying to support their families. They're the corporate entities, and I want to thank you for reminding us and trying to keep that clear even to these people that seem to just not get it.
Yeah, on the right and on the left. I mean, right across
That's right.
the board. It's just amazing to me how, you know, people say, oh, but you're, you know, if you're taking the position that the United States should have immigration laws and should enforce them, then you're being anti, you know, fill in the blank, right? Anti-Mexican, anti-immigrant, anti-Latino, or blah, blah, blah. No, no, I'm, you know, it's, I'm in favor of immigration in a controlled fashion. I'm in favor of middle classes emerging in multiple countries.
It's that fear mentality that still has a grip on people, and I appreciate the fact that you try to break us out of that. So hopefully we'll be moving forward in the next several years here, and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Charles. Good to hear from you. Jim in Grand Rapids, Michigan on WTKG. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Tom. I was just wondering if anyone is talking about Bush signing of the North American Union. And, I mean, is this real? Because we don't hear anybody in Congress talking about it. And is this a reason why there's nothing really being done about illegal immigration?
Are you talking about the agreement that came out of his meeting with Vicente Fox and Stephen Harper back in Waco, Texas in
yes.
the spring of 2005?
Right.
Yeah, that security and prosperity agreement for the Americas, as I recall, is that there's a whole government website for it actually. They're bragging about it, and this coming transportation corridor and all of this. I think that this stuff is going to get a lot more attention. I'm not sure that this is, you know, a Democratic or Republican issue so much. I think that it's a middle class versus the corporations issue.
Right. Well, what I've
heard
is, I think
it's a we the people versus the oligarchy issue. Go ahead.
What I've heard is that Congress wasn't involved in the process at all, and that he had signed it without their consent, and it's basically to erase the borders.
Well, that's because it's not a treaty. It's not a treaty. It's an agreement. It's basically a letter of understanding.
Very often before a contract is signed between two parties, you'll have letters of agreement that say, this is what I understand is going to go into the contract, and the other person will say, well, this is what I understand is going to go into the contract. And when you get those letters of agreement to a point where you both agree, yeah, this is what we agree on, then you sign off on them, then you hand it off to a lawyer and say, turn this into a contract. And then the lawyer does the contract, and then you sign the contract. Well, my understanding is that that agreement that came out of that meeting with Harper and Fox and Bush produced basically that letter of agreement. That it is not legally binding, or at least at the level of it being like a treaty is not legally binding, and that what is going to come out of it, what is supposed to come out of it, is a series of treaty agreements which have not yet been executed. But I'm not an expert on that. We should get somebody on who is.
But it seems like that would go to the intentions of not doing anything about the illegal immigration, because if you're
the border, you're absolutely right. If we're trying to turn all of North America from the southern tip of Mexico to the northern part of Canada into one giant mega corporate picnic table, you're right. And like I said, I don't know the details of that, so I'll have to track it down. Brian in San Francisco, listening on the Quake. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Hi, Tom. You know what? I completely, I sort of disagree with you. I myself am an immigrant, and okay. I'm not here illegally. I'm actually here legally. I went through the process. I work in real estate, and I've known situations where people are here illegally, and they come in and they get social benefits that are designed to help the middle class. Specifically, I'm talking about programs of subsidies to help subsidize down payment programs for first-time buyers. Mm-hmm. I myself have known about three families that are here illegally who work at minimum wage jobs who qualify for these programs.
Oh, I know. The Wall Street Journal did a whole series of, I'm not sure if it was exposés or just articles about that. I mean, that's an actual niche in the banking industry is banking for illegal immigrants.
Exactly, and not only that, but
it seems a little problematic to me.
Well, I'll tell you this, Tom. The city of San Francisco has programs designed to help with down payment assistance, and it's up to $100,000.
See, now, I'm of the opinion that, on the one hand, if somebody is hungry, if somebody is sick, that there should never be even a question about their immigration status. You know, that we don't deprive people of the right of life. But if somebody is looking for education, if somebody is looking for, a down payment on a house, I'm sorry, that's
well,
for our citizens.
What about the population in the jail system here? I mean, a third of them are illegal immigrants.
Right.
And I mean, they're coming in here to commit crimes. So I disagree with you, Tom. I think ideally.
What do you disagree with me about?
I disagree with the notion that it's okay to allow people to come in here to get, some type of assistance. I think if you're
I'm not asserting that.
But it seems like that's what you're saying. If you're here illegally, hello?
I'm saying, all I'm saying is if somebody's here illegally and they show up at a church and say, I'm hungry, I don't think that church should be prosecuted.
I don't.
Or somebody is sick and they show up at a hospital, I don't think that they should be turned away. But I don't think that they should be given a job. And frankly, if people are not employed, they will leave.
They will not leave. They'll take advantage of the system, as you can see with the jails and these programs.
Yeah, well, this is, some of the stuff that we need to be working on, Brian. Brad, I got to wrap up the show. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, or at least this hour of the show. We'll be back after the news at the top of the hour. We're going to talk with Peter Barnes about Capitalism 3.0, and we'll get back to this conversation as well. 57 minutes past the hour.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class...